and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Don't it feel good, Tony? Are we good, Tony?
Oh, I'm good.
I like that. Tony actually, you know, Tony only travels a short way here. He slides down a bat pole. Stephanie Miller has a pole in her house.
Look at living Los Angeles.
Tony slides down in costume to be here. So there's never any question of time.
No.
We forgot to grease the pole this morning. We got stuck halfway down.
And we had to call the L.A. Fire Department to get him out. So it all worked out. Welcome to the show, Tony. Is this a good time for you?
Oh, it's great.
Yeah? Can I turn off your car or anything?
The show's on. We're started on time. We're good.
Good morning. This is the Stephanie Miller Show. Coming to you on your radio, on your computer, and on Free Speech TV. And you know what? I'll get my monitor turned on right now. Thank you. I'm John Fugelsang, filling in for Stephanie all week long in spite of overwhelming popular demand, and we're so grateful to you for joining us, and I'm so grateful because I'm joined this morning by the one and only, the brilliant, the punctual, Jackie Schechter.
It takes so little to please you people.
I can't call you luminous again, because when I call you luminous, there's always some guy calling me sexist.
Why?
Because
why can't a guy be luminous?
Because it's liberal umbrage disease.
What?
It's this desire some progressives have, like some conservatives, to be offended all the time. You know,
I'm not offended.
Always
by that
straight
stuff.
People who get offended by gay jokes, or white people who get offended by race jokes, or you know, or straight or guys who get offended by me saying a woman. I called you luminous 2 days ago, and I got called to the curb for being sexist.
You know, when
sexist.
I was at CNN and I was covering the internet, they used to call me the blog chick, or one of the blog chicks,
mm-hmm.
and some people found that derogatory. I thought it was awesome. I love that word. I have no problem with
well,
that.
Well, I had a couple guys call me out for being sexist because I called you luminous. So today I'm just going to call you a hag skirt, all right? And hopefully that'll satisfy those guys. Good morning, Jackie.
Good
How are
morning.
You?
I'm feeling really good this morning. I didn't get that much sleep, but I feel pretty good.
Well, that's aberration. That's great. That's
good
bizarre
to
me, but it's great to have
I have
you.
No idea how that happened.
Well, I'm glad you do. And I guess congratulations on finding the med cocktail that works for you.
Yeah, clearly, right?
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, we've got quite a show today. I'm really thrilled you're here. And for our next 2 hours, for the final 2 hours of the show, we'll also be joined by the great comedian Greg Proops, of Whose Line Is It Anyway? And, you know,
he's incredibly talented. I mean, I remember watching him for years and years and years on Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yeah, I mean, he's huge in Europe. He plays all over America. He's really, I mean, and folks out there, if you have Free Speech TV, you can watch. And as soon as you see Greg, you'll say, oh, that guy, I know him. And as soon as you hear him, you'll know, because he's just
also,
so smart.
Online, if people don't know, you go to freespeech.org, and there's a stream, a live stream.
You know, that's the amazing thing about Pledge Week. We get to talk about things like this, and because we are supporting Free Speech
Absolutely.
TV this week, and so can you. And if you go to freespeech.org, you can see the show, and you can see Jackie not looking luminous, and you can see I'm going to call Greg fetching just to confuse the
I
PC
like
guys
that.
From yesterday. Yes.
Dashing? Can I use dashing?
I'm dashing.
You are dashing.
Yes, I'm dashing. I'm not hunky. I'm dashing.
You're dashing.
Yes.
Although I did see, I tuned in yesterday for a little bit, and you had the leather coat going.
Yes.
Which is a totally different look than the sport coat.
Yes.
What's on for tomorrow?
Tomorrow, I'm hoping I can just wear a T-shirt.
Are you going casual
like
Friday?
Like a rock band or something.
I like that.
Yeah, thank you. Well, we'll see. I mean, it depends on what meetings I have the rest of the day. I'm only in LA for 5 days, and I got to go, like, try and, you know, get my life in order when I'm not here. So I've just been in meetings all day long every day.
I think the key in LA, too, is if you get up this early, is finding a way to stay awake the rest of the day with traffic.
Oh, it's crazy.
Because when you get stuck in traffic, it's very easy to start to fall asleep.
You know, I had to go to Valley Village last night to do Jody Hamilton's podcast, which
I love
you've
Jody.
Done. You know,
I have done that.
So
She's
brilliant.
Great.
She told me that you had done it. Jody Hamilton is, of course, Carol Burnett's wonderful, talented, gorgeous, hot, foxy, luminous daughter. And I got to her place 15 minutes early, and I literally parked in front of the house next door and set my alarm for a 10-minute nap.
And
I fell asleep.
Did you wake up in time?
Yeah, but this getting up at 4 a.m. every day has been a blast.
One of my favorite Jody stories, I think it was a birthday party maybe at her house.
Mm-hmm.
She had 3 or 4 costume changes because she had so many cool outfits and she wanted to try them all out. Every hour and a half or so, she'd go upstairs and change into a new. And this was just a casual house party, but it was so much fun because she just had so many cool things she wanted to wear.
Mm-hmm.
Each had a different one, was a little more glamorous, and one was a little more rocker chick. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. I thought, who does that? That's great.
She's very, very cool. And I'm getting to do Kelly Carlin's podcast tonight, Waking from the American Dream.
Fun.
Yes, yeah, she's wonderful.
You're making the most of your time out there.
Oh, hey, I'm going on radio and TV to promote podcasts. That's what I do. But no, I've had a lot of meetings, and I've seen some friends, and I lived in L.A. for 11 years, so it's weird to come back now and, you know.
You have barely... a pied-à-terre here? What do they call it?
Like, yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Like a summer home?
Yes, that's what I do. Yes, I use summer as a verb. That's how I reach out to my Republican base. I work for the Bush family. So good morning. Welcome to the Stephanie Miller Show. So there's so much to talk about. We have so many things to cover today. Yesterday we focused a lot on what the Democrats were doing wrong and what they could do right. And today it's, you know, after the Florida special election, and Alex Sink came very close. Very close.
I have issue with Alex Sink. I don't know her personally. I don't have any personal interaction with her. But I feel like if you can't beat Rick Scott, something's wrong.
Well, she wasn't running against Rick Scott.
Not this time.
Right.
But last time.
But people didn't know how awful Rick Scott was because Fox News viewers get one set of facts.
But they should have, because that information was out there, because we were fighting against him during the healthcare fight,
mm-hmm.
and there was plenty of information out there about how bad this man is
and
was.
Yeah, but again, don't forget who elected Rick Scott. You know who elected Rick Scott?
Florida.
The Floridians who didn't show up to vote that year.
That's true.
That's who elected
Rick
Scott.
That's why it's so important that you turn out for local and state elections.
2014 has never been, I think it could be the most important midterm of our life, because we saw what happened in 2010 when people didn't show up. And again, the problem the president's facing is getting enthusiasm for his final midterm and getting Democrats out. Republicans don't have this problem. They're going to show up, folks. They have a 24-hour channel of nonstop propaganda, crack for the bubble to get them out, and they're motivated, and they will. The Democrats have a harder problem. They don't have a tight, confined bubble.
No.
Keep in mind, the Fox News viewers are a distinct minority in our country. They like to brag that, you know, Fox News has the highest ratings of any cable news network, and that means they're the most trusted. But that means SpongeBob SquarePants is much more trustworthy than Fox, because SpongeBob's ratings crush Fox News.
Yeah.
Democrats have a harder problem. They don't have one tight bubble. They got everybody.
Well, because we're a big tent. I mean,
they got to go for women, for minorities, for labor. They're going for black folks, for Latino folks, for white folks. They're going for college kids. They're going for seniors.
Yeah.
I mean, they're trying to help everybody. Republicans are trying to help us, and you know, they're going after middle class and poor conservatives who really think rich people deserve another tax cut.
That's what's so amazing to me time and time again, when people are encouraged to vote against their own best interests,
mm-hmm.
and they don't take time to think about that. It amazes me that people who make, I would say about, what, $50,000 a year and less,
mm-hmm.
are somehow encouraged to vote for the party that's constantly trying to give breaks and benefits to the top 1%.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's why today's going to be, I think the entire show will be a very special edition of
Wheel of Right-Wing Hypocrites.
Because there's a whole lot of Republican shenanigans going on, and I think today's going to wind up being a salute to all the Republicans, from Paul Ryan to Ted Cruz to Mike Huckabee, all the Republicans who will never, ever, ever be president. And we're going to be paying special tribute to them, and we have to begin the show. And we're going to take your calls all day at 800-STEPH-12. That's 800-STEPH-PH-12. Paul Ryan's already going to win for what he said yesterday. You know, he went on Bill Bennett's show. Bill Bennett, for those of you who don't know, was handled the drug war for Reagan and handled education for Bush Sr., so his credentials speak for themselves. But he went on, and by the way, he was Bush's education czar.
Oh.
Yes, Bush Sr.'s education czar, because Republicans have czars, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't the Republicans hate the fact
you
that the Obama administration...
ignorant, mouth-breathing trolls.
Use the word.
Reagan and Bush had more czars than Obama. So Paul Ryan went on Bill Bennett's radio show yesterday, and he, of course, is someone who goes out and tells people how to live their life and talks about virtue and ethics while he gambled away millions of his own dollars... because that's what he does to relax. He was a gambling addict while he was lecturing everyone else about how they should live their life. But this is not about Bill Bennett. This is about Paul Ryan. Because during that interview, Ryan used some code language.
Ooh.
I mean, and there's code language. There's
like dog whistle code language?
Well, there's dog happen? Whistle, and then there's piercing wolf call. And you tell me what you think about this, because he more or less claimed that black men don't like working and are satisfied with being poor. Let me get the exact words he said. We have got this tailspin of culture in our inner cities in particular of men not working and just generations of men not even thinking about working or learning the value and the culture of work. There is a real culture problem here that has to be dealt with. And my buddy Barbara Lee, Congresswoman of California, right away called it deeply offensive. Let's note that he didn't say men in trailer parks who don't want to work.
Oh, no.
Men in rural America who don't want to work. He didn't even say men who are discouraged and don't want to work. He just makes it sound like men are lazy because being poor is awesome, and that's why we have to stop giving them free food.
You know what I love, too, is the definition of work. Like, how dirty and calloused are Paul Ryan's hands?
Mm-hmm.
How much real work has Paul Ryan done?
Well, he worked pretty hard when he was a younger man. I mean, his father died very young, mm-hmm. and I will always, you know, give him credit for having to grow up really fast and for taking care of his family and for using government money to go to school and now trying to cut those same programs. But the inner city was the code word here,
right.
and it's something that we're going to be hearing a lot more of. And it's, again, another reason why you have to know that these guys are not on the side of Americans. They are on the side of not even of the 1%. They're on the side of part of the 1%, the part of the 1% that don't care about you. And for Paul Ryan to say this, and then, you know, he'll turn around and talk about his faith and his devotion and his piety. Anyone who talks about how much they love Jesus and who talks about how much they love Ayn Rand at the same time, although he's not really into Ayn Rand anymore.
Not anymore.
No, because
he's just not that into her.
Not because she was wrong about everything and she was mean, but because she's atheist. But keep in mind, he used to give out copies of Atlas Shrugged to all of his interns. So Paul Ryan is fascinating, and I don't want to make Eddie Munster jokes. That's too easy.
No.
I'd rather make Eddie Haskell jokes about him, because watching that debate with Biden was like seeing Ward Cleaver beat up Eddie Haskell. But then you've got Mitch McConnell,
okay,
who will also never be president, saying he's going to crush the Tea Party. And the Tea Party are now playing victims over this, saying how much he hates real conservatism because he said he'd crush. Never mind the fact that this Tea Party candidate is vowing to crush Mitch McConnell. He just, as soon as he fights back, he's as evil as Obama.
What are the poll results at that point?
Well, Mitch McConnell is 40 points ahead of his Tea Party challenger, which is why he's able to say he's going to crush him. And now you've got Rand Paul rushing to Mitch McConnell's defense.
Really?
Rand Paul's going to be the nominee.
You think so?
It's going to be. The amazing thing is 2016 will be the 240th anniversary of America waging war with England to get away from inherited power. And the nominees are going to be Bill Clinton's wife against Ron Paul's son.
Well, I don't mean, yeah, but I don't know that Ron Paul's son is the legacy, like if we had Jeb Bush.
Of course.
Right, if we had the Bush-Clinton.
No, hey, listen, at least Rand Paul was able to practice eye surgery without a license. So that's an accomplishment in this country. so it's going to be conservative palooza. And then, of course, my favorite thing, we didn't even get to this, was Ted Cruz at CPAC, who pretty much crystallized why Republicans are going to lose the White House by mocking Bob Dole, mocking John McCain, and mocking Mitt Romney. He said President Dole. Remember President Dole, President McCain, President Romney? He said all three of them lost because they weren't conservative enough.
I don't think that's why they lost.
No, they lost because they tried to pretend they were way more right-wing than they actually were. Romney was the Dole of our generation, how he just went so far outside of his moderate comfort zone. Dole, Romney, and McCain are generally nice guys. I'll give them. You know,
I liked McCain a lot when he was more moderate.
Oh.
Like, McCain in 2000 was a totally
different
guy.
2000 McCain would never vote for 2008 McCain.
No, totally different.
And wouldn't speak to 2014 McCain.
And for Romney to turn around and call himself a deeply conservative governor.
He called himself a severely conservative. And again, these guys all lost because they tried to wear this uber right-wing mask, and not only did it not suit them, and Republicans didn't buy it, but Americans didn't want it. Ted Cruz is saying this for one reason: to get more support from the base. Ted Cruz knows he'll never be president. He is such a snake oil salesman, and he is fleecing the rubes. And I hope there's some Ted Cruz supporters out there listening, trolls. I know you have lots of free time. Call us at 1-800-STEP-12 and tell us how much Ted Cruz cares about you and how Ted Cruz is fighting so hard for the needs of ordinary Americans. Because I'm going to say this. Ted Cruz saw what Jim DeMint did. Just quit the Senate because you feel like it, go over and run the Heritage Foundation and get paid gazillions and not have to work as hard. Ted Cruz is not serious about a political career.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
It's like a Sarah Palin.
Yeah. Having said that, he'll run for president. But it's going to be just like last year, in 2012, rather, where you really had Romney and Rick Perry were seriously running for president, and the rest of them were running for higher public speaking fees.
Yeah.
This year is going to be, you know, which Republican wants the nomination to be beaten up by a girl. And, you know, you'll see Rand Paul or Chris Christie lose to Hillary Clinton. But really, it's going to be the same thing. It's going to be a lot of guys running to be famous. I hope Sarah Palin runs because she needs a career bump. But really, I think Rand Paul is serious about it, and that'll be it.
Can we talk about Clinton? Is
oh,
there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is yes. This? Okay. Definitely, because they're really going after her now. And I, you know, it's nice to be able to defend Hillary Clinton. When you're a progressive, you find yourself, I think, alternately criticizing things she's done and defending her, because the Republicans never criticize her fairly. They only criticize her unfairly. And there's things she's done that liberals can take issue with. But again, and especially those of us who are planning on supporting Elizabeth Warren to be the first female president.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, I love the idea, obviously, of a female president.
Well, we got a break, so we'll talk about that. And, whoa, the boards are lighting up. We'll be taking your calls. I'm here with Jackie Schechner. She's not luminous, sexist. We'll be right back after this.
It's fun for ages 8 to 80. Join us.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
We're still getting our handle on the studio here, so please, please, welcome to the show. Someone we should have gone to in the first block, but things got a bit kakakta here this morning. One of my favorite guests of the show, one of my favorite guests on my Late Limited Show, Viewpoint, from Bullfight Strategies in D.C., please welcome the brilliant and always right Carl Frisch. Carl, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Good morning.
Good morning.
Carl, we were talking about Paul Ryan. What do you think is the current state of the GOP clown car?
Well, I think it's certainly going to be interesting. I think it's going to be somebody that we're not expecting and that we're not really talking about, probably a governor like Mitch Daniels or John Kasich. I think the guys in Washington are too tied to a lot of the problems, and that there's probably a clear path. You know, the biggest issue for the Republican primary is probably going to be electability.
You think?
And they have to be conservative. But if they can make the electability argument with the conservatism, I think that's what's going to be the combination for a win. I don't think Rand Paul will win simply because I really think that the powers that be will spend whatever it takes to make him not win.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and do you
think
once people realize
he's going to do a lot better than his dad ever did?
Do you think people realize once they find out that he practiced eye surgery without a license, or what his real views on Ayn Rand are, the primary voters will just?
Well, I mean, normal people would. Conservative primary voters wouldn't care about that. In fact, they might think that looks good on him.
Those big government regulations for performing eye surgery.
Right. You attack somebody like that, and the right wing says, well, yeah, the government shouldn't get involved in that. You shouldn't have to register.
Exactly right. Exactly. So, but John Kasich, isn't he just like one chromosome removed from Larry from the Three Stooges? I mean, is he the guy?
I'm not saying that these guys are good. I'm just saying I think this is what's going to happen. I mean, you know, I think at the end of the day, the best hope for Republicans is a governor who is in a state where things have gotten a little bit better, so, you know, they can take all the credit and not talk about what President Obama did.
And Rick Perry is so glad you feel that way.
What about Huntsman? Does he make another go?
Not a chance.
No.
Not a chance.
How come?
He worked for the president, and that's enough. He could have the best credentials of any candidate to ever walk the face of the planet, and he worked for Obama.
You're right. He was the only GOP candidate in 2012 who never got to be front runner even for a weekend. His campaign was more depressing than it was so bad. Sarah McLachlan was doing late night infomercials for his campaign. It was so depressing.
But his name comes up a lot, and just in casual circles, people say, you know who I really like?
Mm-hmm. Well, Huntsman. Carl, we're going to have to go to break in a second. How much longer do we have you for?
This is it.
Oh, Carl. So what's the big story we should be watching out for right now?
Right now, I'd say for the other shoe to drop in the Christie scandal. I'm really interested in seeing what happens once we get these final reports done.
What do you think is going to happen? I mean, do you think he'll be ruined in New Jersey politics forever?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's already ruined him with Democrats and independents, and that's how he won in the first place.
Ooh, man.
So I don't think he ever gets to win anything ever again in New Jersey.
Carl, I'm so sorry for the confusion this morning with your call-in, and we thought you were on yesterday, too, so it's been a bit of a mess, and I thank you for your patience with us. How can people follow you, Carl?
Just carlfrisch.com, and that has all my links.
Thank you so much. We'll be right back on the Stephanie Miller Show, and thank you to the great Carl Frisch, who everyone must follow on Twitter now. This is the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm John Fugelsang, filling in all morning, along with the great Jackie Schechner. We're taking your calls at 800-STEPH-12. Karen is on the line from Florida. Good morning, Karen. You're on the Steph Show.
Good morning.
Hi.
I want to go back and talk. I'm from Florida. I want to go back and talk about the recent election down here.
Please.
And we keep saying it's Obamacare, it was a referendum on Obamacare, and that's not what happened, I don't think.
Not at all.
Personally, I would like to see the demographics of, first of all, that's been a Republican seat for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
50 years a Democrat hasn't won. The only time a Democrat has won that district was with Obama in the last presidential election.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, take what the demographics were that came out for Obama that didn't come out for Alex Sink and find out why.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe it's a lack of communication on the Democrats' party. We are not fighting fire with fire. We are not talking about women's rights. We are not talking about voter suppression.
Exactly.
I also think the media is really lazy, Karen, and they like to default and say that it's a referendum on the Affordable Care Act.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that there's really any significant evidence that that's the case.
The media is too lazy to call it the Affordable Care Act. They're going to call it Obamacare. And the GOP wants it to seem like it's a referendum on Obamacare because they have no ideas other than smearing health care for American citizens. You're exactly right, Karen. In fact, the DNC sent out a memo that I'm going to post on the John Fugelsang Facebook page and my Twitter, where they point out that in the 2006 cycle, Democrats lost every single competitive special election and then went on to pick up 31 seats and gain the majority. And how in the 2010 cycle, when House Dems lost 63 seats and control of the chamber, they won every single competitive special election leading up to that race. These are not predictors of anything.
It's also comical because turnout is always so low.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially in a special election. I mean, you have trouble turning voters out when you have midterm elections.
Absolutely.
So then couple that or that it even becomes more difficult to turn people out when it's a special election. People just don't pay as much attention as we'd like to think they do.
Karen, I like your
but
notion
that's
that...
because we're not advertising that the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We're not saying to these three universities in that district, those young people should have been targeted for voting, and it should have been done last year. Do you want to lose your birth control rights? Do you want to see all of your rights taken away to have affordable education? Those are the ads we need to not be running, not showing Alex Sink with her family and how happy she
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
I'm getting tired of the Democrats constantly trying to take this high happy road and not getting the message across.
I think you're right.
The minority community should know about the voter suppression here in Florida. That wasn't even on a commercial. It has to be dumbed down on TV to get the message out.
Someone should hire Karen as their strategist.
I was going to say, Karen, honestly, the Democrats need to be as innovative in TV advertising as they are in web advertising. And I think you're right. And I think targeting female voters in Florida and really targeting seniors in Florida for how bad they're getting screwed is the way to go. I think that if the Democrats were smart, they would talk about all these Republican governors denying billions of free Medicaid money, and people are going to die because of it. How's that patriotic to deny free money to your poorest American citizens in your state?
And yet we've got the feel-good ads from the Democrats and the hard-hitting scare tactics from the Republicans, and the Democrats need to wake up and understand this high road feel-good campaigns are not working.
Yes,
you
amen.
You need to get to the core, and you need to dumb it down. Let's just admit, most people are watching Fox News. They're on a fourth grade reading level.
You're right.
You have to go to, and you have to go to the base of the Democratic Party. You have to fight fire with fire. Or we're looking at Hillary Clinton having a Congress that she can't work with for 8 years, and we're in worse shape than we are right now.
Karen, will you please run for office in Florida, please? Can you do that for us, please? I'll feel so much better if I feel like you're one of the people out there running.
I have a big mouth.
Ah, that's what we need. That's what the Democrats need more of. Karen, and I thank you so much for calling. I think everything you said was exactly right. Audrey is calling from Palm Springs. That's a town I'd like to bring the sexy liberal tour to. Good morning. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, we would love to have you. And actually, I'm going to mention that because I believe the most awesome progressive answer to CPAC would be the sexy liberal show on pay-per-view. And people would have parties at home and in public places across the country, and Free Speech TV's profile would soar, and you could have pre-recorded clips of celebrities to get out the vote along the lines of funny or die.
Well, I'd love to do that, and God knows the money for pay-per-view would be great, but the fact is CPAC wasn't pay-per-view. That was free, and that's why people watched it. And I think that the key would be, yes, if you had some sort of convention that mixed entertainment with political figures and great speeches, something really inspiring where you'd have, you know, some corporate money to rent the space and put it up and make it the big progressive action caucus convention, something like Netroots.
There's so many people who want to see your show that will never have that chance.
Well, that's Stephanie's fault. I want to tour every weekend. I tell her, I'm like, I want to do five of these every weekend, lady. But she has a life and refuses to do that. I don't.
Well, I just hope it's an idea you consider.
Well, I thank you. And we're hoping to bring the tour.
It would be a rolling CPAC kind of thing that would be ongoing until the election.
I would love it. And the fact is that you'd have to have a convention with comedians and entertainers to get ordinary folks to watch, because ordinary folks are the opposite of the Tea Party. Ordinary folks are the ones who don't live in the Fox bubble, and that's who we're trying to
reach. But I'll take it one step further and say you've got to translate that into voter turnout. And I know I sound like a broken record with this, but we can talk all we want until people show up at the polls and actually cast their votes. I mean, it's ridiculous how low our voter turnout
percentage is. But that's why having an event devoted to getting the vote out in the midterms and having entertainers, having comedians, making it fun, getting the message across of how important it is. And, you know, if you can bracket that within entertainment instead of preachiness, you'll reach a lot of people.
But you got to get out on the day.
I've never paid for a pay-per-view in my life, but this is the one I would pay for. And I think there are many others out there like me.
Well, thank you, Audrey. I hope we get to come to Palm Springs, and I hope I get to meet you. Thank you for the call. When I was a kid, we paid for pay-per-view once for the Mike Tyson-Michael Spinks fight.
Probably for some sort of boxing event.
I invited all the guys over and all the guys' parents. It was like, oh, all my friends and dads were there with my dad. And I thought, this is like my first male bonding sports experience. Everyone brought their dad over. We got pizza and popcorn. We all sat down, and 90 minutes into the first round, Mike Tyson knocks out Spinks, and everyone left.
90 seconds.
Okay. After 3 minutes, my guy night was over, and I gave up ever trying to be a conformist American male. Britt is calling us from Phoenix. Britt, you have a comment about America's sweetheart, Paul Ryan. Good morning.
Oh, yeah. good morning first, John and Jackie.
Good morning.
Nice to be talking to you. I just can't believe that this guy with the blue eyes and the suit and
the
self-professed Christian this man is would take the alleged facts of a debunked sociologist to go down the genealogy route, saying that the blacks are genetically inferior or less intelligent and lazy. You know, I find that highly offensive and highly anti-Christian. And I mean, these are people that are in spots where they say, it's like, do as I say, not as they do.
Well, exactly. It's sort of like talking about Jesus, but worshiping Ayn Rand. And in fact,
that's exactly what it is. And it really is offensive that we have these people as our leaders.
Cutting food stamps for Americans who've lost their jobs, many because the company was sold, a la Bain Capital, or other companies I could mention who've lost their jobs. And now, no one's dependent on
the
government. They're dependent on food. Go ahead.
I'd like to personalize this just a little bit. Yeah, I'm a Ted Kennedy liberal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Paul Wellstone social democrat. If it wasn't for programs back 30 years ago, I wouldn't be around today because I had a problem. I had a lot of social problems. I need public assistance. And I took it, and I got better. And we don't have that kind of support anymore.
So you're saying you didn't get a handout, my friend. You got a hand up.
I did. I got a lift up.
Paul Ryan did when he went to college, and now you have the grace to want to help out those less fortunate than you.
Now, I'm willing to pay more taxes. You know why? Because it saved me. I can save someone else.
Because you're a patriot. And again, you shouldn't be paying more taxes. The 1%, the 0.1%, and the 0.01% should be paying more taxes. When you consider that a married couple who makes $450,000 a year is paying the same rate as a billionaire, it's a bit insane. Britt, I thank you for the call. Jackie, do you have some facts on that?
Well, yeah, the social research that Britt's talking about, if you go to Talking Points Memo, I want to give them a shout-out, Igor Volsky. It says that Ryan now defending his comments on lazy inner-city men, saying that he didn't think about race at all, that race didn't come into it when he's saying this, but it doesn't make any sense because the social research that he cited and that he's using in order to argue that inner-city men are, quote, taking advantage of anti-poverty programs to avoid employment, actually undermining his claims
to avoid starving.
If you take a look at the social research, Volsky said, excuse me, thank you. It's early. What he's saying is that the social research that he cites is actually contradictory and does talk about racial inequality in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
So it take a look at it over at Talking
Points. And what were Paul Ryan's comments about poor rural men or poor men who live in trailer parks? Did he have anything to say about those guys?
I think he's moving it over to that now to try I think he's trying to backpedal.
What a guy.
He says, in defending his inner city remarks on Wednesday night, Ryan changed his focus to, quote, rural poverty, saying, quote, this isn't a race-based comment. It's a breakdown of families. It's rural poverty in rural areas.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about where poverty exists, there are no jobs and we have a breakdown of the family. Government data has corroborated that rural areas, not inner cities, are increasingly key to the problem of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't sound at all like what he said earlier.
No, that's not a balanced argument. That's damage control.
Yeah.
Dave is calling from Buffalo. The Sexy Liberal Tour played there in 2011. Dave, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Good morning. Dave? Are you there, Dave? Are you there, Dave? Hello, Dave? Hello, Dave? Dave? It says hold. The hold light is flashing, but I've hit the button, Tony. I feel like Dave is screaming in agony somewhere. I keep pressing the button. And I get nothing. Hi, Dave. Dave in Buffalo.
I don't think we have Dave.
Oh no.
Poor Dave.
Dave, are you there? Dave, I'm rooting for you, baby. Dave.
All right, we should move on.
Okay, we're gonna move on. Thank you. I tried.
As much as I love Dave.
I really tried. What are you doing? What are you doing? Tony's now over my shoulder. I've answered phones before. Okay, thank you. Dave, are you there?
Yes.
It's a beautiful thing. Hi, Dave. Sorry about that. You were on the Stephanie Miller Show, and it was worth it waiting for you.
Yes. Okay. Well, welcome from the North Coast here. One of the things the Democrats could actually do to get more popular is to really advocate strongly for wind power. And in light of the Ukraine situation, where
what about dating Kardashians? Wouldn't that be better for the Democrats to get popular at this point? No. Okay.
Make them go away.
All right. Talk about wind power.
In the Ukraine, they've got a problem with natural gas consumption. The Ukraine has basically gone bankrupt paying for natural gas to make electricity.
Mm.
And in New York State, we got the same problem, only we get our gas from Texas and Louisiana and stuff, which is maybe just as bad. But anyway, one of the things that wind power does is it directly replaces natural gas consumption to make electricity, as well as, you know, not doing CO2 pollution. And it should have the potential of basically creating another auto industry with regards to employment of that size. I mean, there should be, you know, 250,000 people employed making wind turbines.
But what about when you have a wind spill, though, and the natural disaster of a wind spill?
Rumor has it that's a messy thing, but people can recover.
Like a solar spill. Those are awful, and liberal media won't cover these things.
That's true. But, I mean, the key is you could easily have 1 million people employed making wind turbines and installing them, and within a decade or two, you'd see natural gas consumption drop, which means everybody's natural gas price for heating would drop until we start replacing natural gas heating with electric powered heat pumps.
I'm guessing you're a big fracking guy, Dave.
You're
in Buffalo.
No, I'm not a big fracking guy. I actually testified in front of the New York State Energy Commission about their energy plan, which is full of beans, but I said fracking for gas is the equivalent of an alcoholic dumpster diving for that last little swig of Wild Irish Rose that you might have in a pot. And that actually got their attention.
It's not craven enough a comparison, but I appreciate what you're going for. Dave, thank you very much. And from your lips to Fox's ears, I'd love to see people get serious about wind power in this country. And I think young kids writing reports on science for their parents are going to lead the way. We got to go to break. We're going to take more of your calls when we come back with Jackie Schechner. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I don't think it's gross.
I'm going to tell you why it's gross.
We're talking about the blurred lines.
Prison assault is never funny, okay?
Okay.
And we make a joke of prison assault in this country, and it's not funny. But Robin Thicke being led into Oz while the inmates were chanting, I know you want it, I know you want it, that's funny. And we are now joined by the great Greg Proops, who's in here a block early before his 7 a.m. start time. Hello, sir.
Good morning. Evidently, I was much more enthusiastic in my driving than I thought I was going to be. This is the best time to... What's happening? Why is everyone running?
You actually have to rest the mic on your soft palate.
Oh, my God. Can you hear me now, America? And it points east.
When it tickles your tonsils, you know you're close enough.
Wow.
And you know what? It's
good,
actually,
good advice.
That's what he said.
Yeah,
it's actually
how I got the job.
Great that you're joining us here for the last block of the first hour, because this is where I actually, as guest host, get to tell all the folks out there in Stephanie Miller Radio Land and on the Internet how great it is that the show is now on Free Speech TV. Because, you know, Greg, and you know this, in this corporate media age, getting real independent voices on the airwaves is harder than ever. It shouldn't be. We the people own the airwaves. But it's the era of corporate media, and getting independent thought, independent thinkers out there on TV is as rare as
untitled white guy.
It's as rare as a hard. it's as rare as Paul Ryan finding a hard-working man in the inner city.
Mm.
And so, if you want the kind of programming that Free Speech TV brings, if you want to support it and be a part of that kind of community that brings Tom Hartman, that brings Bill Press, Amy Goodman with Democracy Now!, Ring of Fire, and the Stephanie Miller Show, this would be a great time to become a part of the Free Speech TV family. And you can do it by calling 877-378-8669. That's 877-378-8669, or going to freespeech.org for and you can make donations of $100, $120, $1,000 if you're feeling generous. If you could invest $240 or $20 per month, then you can get the Stephanie Miller Show coffee mug and the Stephanie Miller Show messenger bag and the Stephanie Miller Show baseball cap, and you can show the entire world that you're a proud liberal lesbian leftist, just like Stephanie Miller.
I didn't even know we had that much stuff.
There's a lot of swag. So you came at just the right time, Greg.
That's so awesome. I'm a lesbian leftist liberal.
I was going to say.
And I love those who do. And that's what separates me from the rest of the herd.
I'm not a lesbian leftist liberal, but I do resemble Katie Lang. And and that's enough. So if you can be a part of something greater than yourself by donating to Free Speech TV and becoming a part of this community and keeping the great independent programming they have out there, because we can't all be in groupthink. So welcome to the show, Greg Proops.
Thank you, John.
I was so pleased you were free.
It's exciting. Can we say where we are in Los Angeles?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Yes.
We're in Los Angeles. And driving in the pre-dawn hours is the best time to drive in L.A. because there's really no traffic.
No, there's just deer on the side of the highway.
I was going to say there's animals, though. That's the thing that people don't realize about Los Angeles. This place is swarming with fauna.
A lot of deer, man. A lot of deer.
A couple of working women out this morning on my way in.
Yes, well, and you want to make sure, because some of the best-looking working women aren't actually women.
Yeah.
Oh.
There was a dude walking down the middle of the street. And I don't mean on the sidewalk. I mean, he was walking down the middle of the street, and I was like, hey, dude, in my car, as if he can hear me. And then, of course, he moved over, but I was like, wow, that's an interesting gambit at this point. But then I would, too. I'd be scared.
At 4 a.m., hey, dude, in L.A. is pretty much the only come online you need.
That's how it worked. So it's exciting driving.
That's why Tony was late this morning.
Really?
Oh, no,
too many
really.
Dudes. Dude blockage.
Too many dudes in the road. Well, you come at the right time, because this has been a great week for the Republican Party after CPAC, or as I call it, Comic-Con for right-wing poop heads. And we've been talking this morning about how Ted Cruz said that Romney and Dole and McCain all lost because they weren't conservative enough. In reality, they lost because they were trying to be more conservative than they were. Paul Ryan saying inner-city males, inner-city men just don't like to work. But the best thing is the ex-U.S. General Jerry Boykin, who got in trouble 10 years ago for saying that Muslims worship a false god, and I knew we'd win the war because our god was the true god, and we have, you know, an arsenal bigger than Russia and China. Well, now, you might not know this, but he's been working for the Family Research Council. He is the executive vice president of the Family Research Council. I've enjoyed debating their members on the Ed Schultz Show. And he was giving an interview where he said, and I want to get this quote exactly right. Okay, here we go. The Jews are the cause
of all
the problems in the world. He said this on mic Thursday at the National Security Action Summit, saying, on mic, the Jews are the cause of all the problems in the world. Now, I want to say how deeply offensive this is, because General Boykin, the Jews aren't the cause of all the problems in the world. It's a tiny cabal of Jews that are responsible
for it. It's the gay Jews.
So, you know, what do you think of the current clown car status of the GOP? This seems to be working for them at winning, you know, state and local elections. I don't think they need to have an IQ higher than this.
Oh, no. I love that it just reminds me of radio shows from the 30s, that statement.
Charles Coughlin?
Oh, my God. No, you know, I think I think that's the reason why they keep, I hate the term doubling down, but I think that's why they keep backing up on this stuff and adding more to it, is because it seems to be working.
That's why they're doubling down and the dumbing down. Yeah. Greg Proops is here for the next 2 hours with Jackie Schechner, taking your calls. Look at the board light up. I'm John Fiegel saying it's a beautiful Thursday. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. We're all alive and get to be here. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, and it just got really fun in this room. Greg Proops is here for 2 hours, along with Jackie Schechner. She's here.
We're talking about the downfall of Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
And how gratifying that is, really.
It's pretty tragic, isn't it?
I'm still on it, but I'm thinking about nuking mine. Either that or turning it into, oh, no, I just forgot. You know, when you're making a joke early in the morning, you've really got to remember the subject of the joke. What was the MySpace there?
Yeah.
It just took so long that I just killed the humor on that one. But I remember when I shot my MySpace account in the head, and it's getting Facebook in.
You know, my MySpace still lives there like a forgotten orphan.
Mine's probably still, you know what's probably still online somewhere is my Friendster account.
Friendster,
wow.
Nice.
Well, at least you know your old MySpace is still there as a sponge for spam from crappy bands.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
I was just going to say, were you in a band? Is that why it's still there?
No, I wasn't in a band. That's why I had to get off Facebook MySpace eventually. You know, I like Facebook. I do. And I'm trying to get into Instagram, but I find I don't have a lot of pictures of food or photos of girls' feet in front of bodies of water.
Yeah, you've got to go to a lake and do that.
I know.
You
I know.
Need a sunset. And then you need to filter the sunset.
Pair of girls' feet in front of the lake.
Mm-hmm.
So I am working on that.
Food is a winner, I'll tell you that. Every time I post food, I 2 days ago I posted a woman named Lizzie Warden made a documentary about homeless female veterans,
mm-hmm.
and they showed it on PBS the other night. And I'm in contact with her, and I said I'll tweet this, and so I did, and maybe two people responded. The day before, my wife had made Vietnamese pho,
mm-hmm.
and I took a picture of that. 7,000 million followers. You know what I mean? Like, you really issue-oriented things.
We're just hungry. We're hungry primates.
Yeah,
really
we just want pictures of food.
My cat pictures are very popular.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I got to do
animal
more.
Pictures are
pets
big.
I do more cats.
Big.
Yeah. Well, I measure my success in life by whether my Facebook profile picture is of a cat, a flower, or a child. And that's how I know how well I'm doing. Happy L. Ron Hubbard's birthday, by the way.
Thank you. We're going to the volcano later if you want to go. It's going to be fun.
You know, it's gotten so commercialized. I just can't do those L. Ron Hubbard birthday parties anymore. There's so much pressure to take vitamins and, you know, I just want to stay home and quietly exchange thetans with friends and family.
I think that's the way to do it. Observe it the way he would have. We're going over to Cal Poly and see if we can stir anything up.
That's great. I'll be exploiting other people's insecurities for my own personal gain.
Perfect.
So I think that's really.
I'm going to use military nomenclature and put it toward a belief system because I don't think there's anything sexier than having things called Sea Dog or whatever.
You missed it, but I already gave Jackie my presents for.
Oh well,
yeah. I was going to say, what do I get?
Your L. Ron Hubbard birthday present. I got you a pilot's license.
Ooh.
And a beard wife.
Oh.
So
you're
okay. Yes. Why'd the lights go out? Hey, what happened in here?
Do we sign an agreement and then she leaves me in 5 years?
I know this building's about to blow up like a place in Harlem.
I was just going
to
say,
I'll never work again.
Hey, so let's talk to some Stephanie Miller fans because it's not every day we get Greg Proops in here, and I'm very very excited. So Rick is on the line. From Arizona. I'm sorry, no, this is actually Mike is on the line. I'm sorry. From West Virginia. Mike, you're on the Steph Show.
Good morning, John. Good morning.
Hi there.
Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning.
And, of course, shout out to Tony. I just want to say, John, to your point about what Democrats can do is
please.
My father, while he graced us with his presence on this earth, this existence, taught me one thing. Always have the courage of your conviction. And, you know, the way you treat a bully is you punch him in the mouth. Okay, I you know, you had said some Democrats, I'm a blue guy, my wife's blue, we're both very liberal living in a very red state. So my point would be, get angry, get organized, and get in their face.
Mm-hmm.
And beat them
and
over the head
specific.
With the facts.
Get specific.
Dan Brewer, is retiring. Michelle Bachmann is getting out of politics. They're both going to do a reality show because that's the closest either one of them will ever come to.
Listen,
reality.
We're comedians. Don't rub it in that Michelle Bachmann and Jan Brewer are going away, okay? There's so few people serving on an outpatient basis.
Actually, I'm a very, very underemployed stand-up and have been for the last 5 years.
How can we audition for their show? Is that union?
You guys are terrific. I love you guys. Big fan. Keep up the great work, John.
Oh, thank you so much, Mike. Rick in Arizona. I'm sorry. I thought I was talking to you. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, no, through the magic of Facebook, it's an honor to be speaking.
Maybe you haven't seen a picture of a sunset lately.
What's that?
Oh, John, I just wanted to ask a question. Get on politics, I hope you don't mind.
Yeah.
I've seen your interview with George Harrison on YouTube, and I probably watched it years ago when it came out, but I watched it again, and it's just incredible, and I'm just a big Beatles nut. Could you just kind of elaborate on
how it happened?
Well,
sure. Yes, I'd love to. At the risk of boring everyone, I'll make it quick. I know
we all want to hear Beatles stories.
We need a politics.
Well, I was working. My first broadcasting job was working for VH1. They hired me to be their funny guy, but I sort of became their de facto classic rock guy. And I was scheduled to go to London to do a live special with McCartney. He had picked me to go do this town hall with him. And they called me and said, "We need you to leave a day late." I said, "Why? I've never been to England." They said, "We need you to be here on Wednesday to do an interview with George Harrison and Ravi Shankar." Now, George was my idol. He was my favorite solo Beatle. I think All Things Must Pass is the best solo Beatle album ever made. And I really, of course, related to his spiritual journey, how he went from growing up Catholic to being a true seeker of the truth. And of course, he hadn't toured since the 70s. I did see him play at the Bob Dylan tribute show in 92, the last time he ever performed in public in America. So we thought he was going to come in with Robbie. They were promoting the Chance of India record. He would give us a soundbite and leave. And I was the worst interviewer of all time. Proops, you got to watch this.
Really?
Is it
on YouTube?
Some of it's on, a bit of it's on YouTube because it was actually 4 hours, but only a small bit of it aired. And I was making inappropriate jokes.
4 hours?
He stayed for 4 hours. He came in for a 10-minute soundbite with Robbie and Robbie's wife. And I knew everything.
So it was a taped interview and they edited it down?
Yes, okay. Yes. And I knew everything he'd ever done, every B-side. I was like bringing up rumors from Beatle Fan Magazine. He hadn't released an album in 10 years at the time. And I was the worst interviewer. I was making Rick Astley jokes. I was,
Was this around the time he did that that last solo album that had When We Were Fab and all that on it?
No, this was 10 years later.
10 years later.
Yeah,
than
yeah.
That.
I was only a teenager when that came out.
Okay.
So I think he responded to the fact that I was so raw, and in my ear, my producer was saying, "Ask him about John Lennon," but I knew he didn't want to talk about the Fabs. He just wanted to talk about God and meditation and what happens when you die, and TM and the soul. So at one point, George even said, "This is all a bit lofty for VH1," but he was so deep, and I could bore you all day with the brilliant things he said. He finally, and then someone's girlfriend came to visit on the set and handed him a guitar that she had with her.
And awesome.
He
hadn't performed in America in 20 years. He did 4 songs.
What'd he do?
He did Indian Vedic chant with Ravi Shankar on sitar, and I'm sitting next to him for this.
Right.
He did a Traveling Wilburys song that only Dylan had sung, If You Belong to Me. He did an unreleased song that wound up being Any Road Will Get You There, the first track off his posthumous album, and he did the only time he ever performed it in public, All Things Must Pass.
Wow.
It was amazing.
So you've never been happier.
Well, from there, I went straight from the studio. I have pictures of me with George in New York, and then I went right to the airport, the red eye, and I have pictures of me with my uncle in London wearing the same clothes the next morning.
Oh, my God.
But VH1 put it on as like a 30-minute special called George and Robbie, Yin and Yang, which is insulting to one of them. Nobody watched it.
Who's Yang?
Exactly. No one saw it. And then when George got sick, I'll never forget, I was at Montreal doing the Comedy Festival. They called me and said, "We want you to come down. We're recutting the special. We want you to do some raps because we think George is going to go." I thought, that's ghoulish, but I don't want someone else doing it.
Right.
So when when we were recording this, when we started, there was no one in the studio. By the time we were done, Rick Rubin was there. The editor of Billboard were there. Every record label guy in New York had gathered around. And you could hear on the YouTube, like, the crowd in the room gathering. Because it wound up being 4 hours. When he died, they cut it down to a one-hour special. And all the stuff they cut out the first time about God and the universe and meditation, what happens when you die, then they put it all back in.
Uh-huh.
So the day he died, they were running around the clock, the special of George and some 26-year-old talking about these very heady subjects.
And to this day, I'll have like guys stop me in airports, and straight guys will hug me, saying that they loved how spiritual and how deep it got. And at the time, I was so embarrassed because I met my idol, and I was a blithering idiot who gave the worst interview of all time. And, you know, 10 years later, you get some perspective on it, and you realize, oh, I'm not that person anymore. The painful experience helped me grow, and now I can look on it more objectively. And I got to meet George's widow in Hollywood, Olivia, mm-hmm. and she thanked me for the interview and was lovely. And then Martin Scorsese put me in his documentary. So the worst experience of my life led to me being in a Martin Scorsese film.
Well,
so.
How can you say it was such a bad interview if he stayed for 4 hours? Don't you think
so,
he would have bugged
you
got to
watch it. I was so nervous. I just
yeah, but he would have split if he'd hated it.
Yeah, well.
Because he's George Harrison. I don't think he suffered any. He didn't suffer the Beatles, man. You
know
what
I know.
I mean? He didn't suffer John.
Well, that was the thing. 3 days later, I'm in London, and I'm saying I was telling the story to Paul. I'm like, yeah, who could believe that George would show up and play 4 songs on guitar? And Paul's just like, he won't return my calls.
Right.
I'll play songs for you.
Me in 18 years,
exactly.
Man.
Exactly. They hadn't really spoken since the anthology. So the Paul's team was like, he won't even return our calls. So
and the anthology is so good.
Paul's very lovely, too.
They just fight on camera the whole time.
Oh, really? That's why Let It Be. That's why Let It Be will never be released. So no, that's my long, boring George Harrison show, and I hope I bored you.
Nothing
thank you
boring
for the call.
About that.
Let's go to Tom in Ohio, who's here to talk about something that really matters. Not the Beatles, but CPAC, the real soul of a nation.
All
good
right.
morning, Tom.
Hey, you know that Monkey's Flaming Poo Festival at CPAC? You know, let's get up to reality. Those people have the unmitigated temerity to stand up and blame Barack Obama for Putin going into the Crimea.
And Benghazi,
you know,
be
his
fair.
His weakness and all this. I'd like to remind those SOBs, in 1956, the Russians went in and took over Hungary. Hungary had a revolution through the communist South. Nikita Khrushchev sent the Russian army and tanks in, machine gun peoples in the streets, put the country back under communist control, and at the time, our president was Dwight Eisenhower. Now, I don't think Eisenhower is a weak link, by any means. But, you know, these people, you know, talk about, oh, it's Obama's weakness allowed, you know, Putin to go in Crimea. Please.
Eisenhower wasn't weak. What do you he taxed the rich, had the interstate highway program. He helped Americans. How weak do you get?
Eisenhower won World War II. He put an end to Korea by telling the North Koreans and China, I'll go nuclear. I want to put an end to that.
No offense, Tom, but why are you reaching back? Why are you reaching back to 56 when you got George W. Bush doing nothing when Russia invaded Georgia in 2008?
Yeah. I just the thing is, that can you think of a stronger leader than Dwight Eisenhower and the Russian went in? And I don't think anybody back then called him a weakling.
No, I actually think that 80% of liberals are actually Eisenhower Republicans. Pro-union, pro-infrastructure, pro-jobs, pro-progressive tax rates. And pro-the socialism of the GI Bill.
You got it. And one more thing. I don't think Jackie's luminous. I'd go Frisco-licious.
Oh, you sexist, woman-hating bastard. How dare you, sir? How dare you?
Frisco-licious.
Is it bad that I'm flattered by this stuff?
Yes. Why are you helping the patriarchy?
Get out more often.
Stop enabling the patriarchy. I bet you don't even spell woman with a Y. All right, we'll be taking your calls when we come back with Greg Proops. I promise no more Beatles stories. It's the Stephanie Miller Show, 800-STEP-1-2.
I'm kind of known for having a twisted sense of humor.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
We'll see.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm having a Mac emergency. No Geek Squad can help me.
I have a Mac, man.
Yeah?
I
just
I
need
do.
A new plug.
What about
I have
this plug here? This one's
Mac
working.
That's a different Mac. Different kind of problem.
It won't go in there?
No, it won't go in there. Trust me. Won't fit.
Oh, I hate that.
I'm helpless.
Obsolescence.
I can't work without the Internet. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm John Fugelsang. And now the power just came on. I can't believe it. I'm John Fugelsang, filling in for Stephanie all morning, taking your calls at 800-STEP-1-2, joined by the great Jackie Schechner and our special guest. I mean, where do we begin with your credits?
I don't know, John.
Where do we begin with your credits? Whose line is it anyway?
Oh, golly. Let's start there. That's certain to keep people who are listening to progressive radio to hear Substance on.
That's not true.
I wonder
true.
If you might do a hoedown a little bit later, Greg.
People who are fans of Substance are also fans of good, smart comedy.
Well,
and that's
are,
where
yeah.
I go. And, I mean, you were even in Star Wars Episode One. That's
I
my
was.
Favorite resume credit.
Can I
yours.
Give you a couple plugs since
yes.
we're plugging now?
Please.
I have a podcast called The Smartest Man in the World
mm-hmm.
that I record live every week.
Mm-hmm.
And That's available on iTunes. I also have another podcast called The Greg Proops Film Club that we show a picture every month at when I say a picture, I mean a movie. Mm. I talk in old-timeese.
Can I drive my automobile there?
You can drive your automobile there with some cats and dig
to the
Artie,
picture show?
Artie Flicks with your shades on, babe. Next month we're showing, the 31st
groovy.
We're showing, it is groovy. On the Cine Family, we're showing Wonder Boys this month. Last month we showed Rushmore.
Nice.
But we showed the older pictures too. We were on a French kick for a while, and that's also available on SoundCloud and iTunes and shows like that. And then I have a video coming out called Live at Musso and Frank. I shot a stand-up set. Musso and Frank is the oldest restaurant in Hollywood.
Terrific restaurant.
Yeah, it's over on Hollywood Boulevard, and it was from 1919. Chaplin used to eat there, and Fairbanks, and Bogey, and everybody. And it was a lot. We shot it there on the floor of this restaurant, and it's available. It's like $5. So if you go on my website, gregproops.com, you can pre-order it now. We're dropping on the 26th of March. Thank you for that applause.
Brilliant.
Great.
And all the best albums drop. So I
had to say drop because I didn't want to say it comes out.
Of course. Out of the closets and into the airwaves.
We're dropping a joint, as they say. Yeah, as the kids would say.
I'm so delighted you're here. I had the honor of working with both of you last fall when I did a stint in L.A. of the Comedy Nation shows that we were taping, and I'm doing another one of those this Friday night in Santa Monica. Rick Overton will be there, Matt Kirshen, the British comedian from yesterday. I'm trying to talk Proops into coming, so I'll have that information on my Facebook and Twitter. And come on down to Santa Monica. And the topic, the theme for the show, it's actually going to be in the theater in the Santa Monica Church. They have a great performance space, and they let you be filthy. It's on the progressive agenda and what that even means. So it's going.
Is there a progressive agenda?
It's the agenda is for me to make a lot of CPAC jokes. That's my progressive
say,
agenda.
Yeah. My agenda is to make fun of the other side.
Exactly. That's ridicule works, and it's moral, too. And, oh, my God, I don't understand how Stephanie Miller's fans can be so awesome and wait on hold so long. But Irv is calling us from Chicago. We're going out there with the Sexy Liberal Show April 26th. Irv, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Good morning.
Oh, hey. Great to talk to you guys. I was just talking about back to the idea of what Democrats can do. What's always bothered me, it seems like the Republican messaging is like the Borg. They get two or three points or whatever. Everybody knows them, and they just hammer them on every show. And the Dems, we're always like, we've got 15 or 20 points, and they're all nuanced. It seems to me, if we could get find some organization or some group that could put together every day, here's the three or four things we're going to talk about with a few facts, and we're just going to hammer those home all day long, just like the Republicans. And when a Republican says something that is obviously false, the Democrat sitting across doesn't just sit there. We have to call out every time a lie. Every time I hear, a rising tide lifts all boats. It's like, no, that's not true, and it's not an economic philosophy. But I see, I'm Morning Joe and all these other shows. The Republicans come on and they say that stuff all the time, and the Dems just kind of sit there and just kind of like smile and
they're
nod
pinatas.
Instead of saying, no, I'm sorry. That's not correct.
You know, Irv,
every time you say that, I'm going to counter it.
The right has always been better at consistent and coherent messaging. It's just the nature of the way they run their political machine. But when we were fighting for health care reform, one of the things that we did, we had a big coalition, and one of the things we did, we had a conference call every morning to talk about what the stories were. It was my organization, it was HCAN, Healthcare for America Now, and then a lot of our member organizations, especially those in Washington, to talk about what the stories were for the day, what our consistent messaging was going to be, how we were going to combat some of the right-wing stories that were out there, some of the falsehoods that we were going to debunk. And really, it was just an opportunity to talk about where we were going to go with the day. That was really all it was. Well, Politico picked up, and then O'Reilly picked up, that there was an evil conference call that was happening every morning amongst the left-wing zealots, and they put up this big story on the front page of Politico that said, my vast left-wing conspiracy. And then O'Reilly picked it up and did his whole talking points on it on
that Friday.
To help
Americans have health care.
Yeah, but it was that we were this cabal that was going after our opposition, and we were attacking people who were against health care reform, and it got so blown out of proportion. And I thought, well, we're progressives. All we do is have meetings and conferences.
Right. Right.
There's really no news in there.
Yeah, you see what patriotism and Christian values will get you?
But even just trying to have some sort of coherent messaging turned into this crazy left-wing conspiracy theory.
But you know what? It's like, I think we can't. It's like O'Reilly wants to call it whatever he wants to call it. It's like we still, I think, need to do it. It's every time I hear a horror story about somebody lost their health care insurance, some bogus, you know, nonsensical claim, it's like it would be great if whoever's sitting there says, oh, no, I've got five stories about, hey, look, this worked out great for these people.
Mm-hmm,
they've got a great plan. It's costing them less. Their kid had a pre-existing condition. The kid is now getting treatment. The kid was about to die in 3 months, and now this kid
That's
is actually
That's patriotism,
gonna survive.
Irv, and I got to go to break, but I thank you for the call. Modest sure, Mouse checking us out. I think an even better thing, point out when the Republicans tell the truth. Ted Cruz said one thing in his speech. Congressmen shouldn't become lobbyists. I agree. One real fact. We'll be right back. The new U2 song, and it's better than anything they've done in the last 15 years. It sounds like a U2 song. And you know why? They didn't make this album with Daniel Lanois and Brian Eno. They went to Danger Mouse, who's half of Gnarls Barkley, and made the Grey album with the Beatles and Jay-Z. He remixed the Black album and the White album, and he did that great album with Jack White and Norah Jones. Danger Mouse is like the hippest producer. U2 got him, and the new album sounds like classic U2. It doesn't sound modern at all. It's wonderful. So that song's Invisible. It's a teaser song from their new album coming out this summer, and I'm kind of in love with it. Thank you for playing it. Yes, I am willing to sit here and say I am not hip, and I am still a U2 fan.
Good for you.
There's nothing wrong with being
still
a U2
true believer.
Fan. I
yeah,
think
man.
It's always classic. That doesn't go out of style.
Yeah, seriously. U2 concerts are everything religion promised and didn't deliver.
I have about 20 minutes on U2 if you want to come see my stand-up here sometime.
Well, you can agree all the pomposity of Bono can be mocked, and you can still love U2.
Sure. The
just like Springsteen. I can live in both those worlds. And you were talking about George Harrison in the break hating Oasis. He used to just call Liam the silly one.
Yeah.
He hated
Well, I'm sure he got a few bucks from them, too, because they had to, their first two albums, I think they had to pay off everyone in the world.
Well, Wonderwall is a George Harrison song. And Be Here Now is a George Harrison song.
Yeah, the fact that he called it Wonderwall, George Harrison was furious.
Well, I think the whole song's about George Harrison.
Oh, yeah.
If you listen to it, it's all about, like, you're this great icon and you're doing nothing and I still believe in you. And
right.
I think it's about George Harrison.
And then he named his son Harrison, didn't he?
He named his son Lennon.
Lennon, that's it. Oik.
Yeah.
He's a nitwit. But, I mean, there was this great interview that George did from his palacio out in Surrey or wherever, and he was sitting in a wheelbarrow with a hat on, and that's all I remember.
The fire park.
Yeah, and they were like, oh, well, what do you think of Ugly Heights, Oasis? And he just on and on.
Oh,
and
yeah,
on
he hated U2 as well.
Yeah.
He hated U2.
Well,
but when he died, U2 did My Sweet Lord as a tribute to him anyway, so that's classy. Hey, it's the Stephanie Miller Show, rock fans. We'll be doing our hardcore hip-hop and metal discussion in the next hour, but we're taking your calls all morning. I'm John Fugelsang. That's Greg Proops. That's Jackie Schechner. If you had free speech TV, you'd know what we look like. And let's see, Anita has been on the hold for quite a while. Anita, you are on the Stephanie Miller Show. Good morning.
Yeah, I'm calling about what's going on here in Texas.
Please.
The Republicans in Texas are so afraid of Wendy Davis and Hillary Clinton, they have actually found a way to suppress the women's vote. What they have done is, if your driver's license, let's say my driver's license says Anita Ferguson, okay? But my voter ID says Anita Ferguson Heimbaugh with a hyphen.
No way.
Now, if those two don't match exactly, I can't vote.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've been reading about this. So has this been fully enacted? They're going to do this for the next term?
No. What they've done is, what they did is, first, they tested it out with allowing us to fill out provisional ballots, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not those are going to count, I don't know. Nobody knows.
Yeah, that's the thing about provisional ballots, is whether or not they actually
right.
go on
exactly.
to count them.
Exactly. But that was just the test.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
I can guarantee you in 2014 that it's not going to be a test. That's what they're going to do.
That's the new way to suppress women's votes. It's amazing, and it'll
yeah,
work.
Yeah, they're going to suppress women's vote.
And there'll be a lot of lawsuits against it, but it's not going to stop the votes going the way they want them to go in 2014.
And let me tell you something. The woman that ran for Lieutenant Governor, Letitia Vanderpute, she was not able to vote. She had to fill out a provisional ballot.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing.
There's got to be some sort of regulation.
I was going to say, this seems like something that needs to be taken to the Texas Supreme Court.
And it'll be taken there after the election, and after all these elections are lost in Texas, and after women are denied the right to
vote. They're desperate in Texas, though, to keep it the way it is, and they're having to face women and Latins and every other group, because they're not the majority anymore, and they've gerrymandered as hard as they could. But
Anita, I want to thank you for the call.
Yeah.
It goes right into a point that the previous caller made about how the Democrats need to fight back and get blunter in their language. And I actually think, in terms of women's rights and women's reproductive freedoms, that the abortion issue is one where the Democrats need to start clobbering the GOP on a few fronts, because no one's pro-abortion. They're pro-women's reproductive freedoms.
They're pro-choice. You're not pro-abortion.
Oh, man, Game of Thrones is a rerun. Let's have an abortion. No one does that. But even more so than that, I want to start seeing, and I've said this on the show before, I want to start seeing Democrats and the liberal media start calling out these pro-life Republicans on what their real agenda is. Namely, they want to repeal Roe versus Wade, which means they want to criminalize abortion, which means they want women who terminate pregnancies to go to jail. Now, if they don't, I'd like to find out how they feel about it, and I'd like to see Democrats call them out and make them say women and who terminate pregnancies and the doctors who perform the procedures deserve to go to jail. And if I get my way and Roe versus Wade is repealed, they will. And what I ask my right-wing friends on camera is, if you succeed in repealing Roe versus Wade and a woman is raped and terminates a pregnancy from it, who deserves the longest jail time? In order, the rapist, the doctor, or the woman, and make them answer. Bring the fight to them. Stop being an anti-life pinata. It came up when I hosted Viewpoint and could say whatever I wanted on TV.
Yeah.
Because God bless liberal, God bless independent media, free speech TV.
But have you ever had the chance to put that question?
No, because once on CNN I did. Mm-hmm. But generally, I want to know, if you want to criminalize abortion, what do you think should happen? Because repealing Roe versus Wade's not going to get rid of abortion. It's going to get rid of the safe legal kind.
No more than prohibition got rid of drinking.
Exactly.
It's kind of a cart before the... I think it boils down to just massive misogyny.
I think so too.
And how misogyny is always a winner. And that's what they run on constantly, and fear of women.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you. That argument has to be taken directly to the source at all times. If abortion is made even more restrictive than it is now, and it's not that easy to get mm-hmm. in lots and lots of places,
mm-hmm.
it just means more women die of poorly performed abortions and all types of things like that.
In other words, the Right to Life movement is fighting for more Dr. Kermit Gosnells.
No question about that. And then when something like that happens, they have a big flag they can fly and stand behind. But
why aren't Democratic politicians using this? I'm a clown, and I'm speaking more bluntly than the Democrats.
But we can. We have nothing, because they have to, if you'll pardon the expression, suck from the same teat that everyone else does. They're co-opted. That's why.
But if you don't, no one likes abortion. Everyone would like to see the abortion rate go down. Liberals are the first ones to brag that abortions went down every year Bill Clinton was in office. Went up every year George W. Bush was in office. So, if you don't like abortion, why aren't you for more birth control? For firing birth control out of cannons? For socialized birth control for men and women? Please.
As the estrogen in the room, I would say that the day you can get pregnant is the day you have the right to tell me what to do with my body.
Thank you.
Damn.
Yes. Until then, it's my choice.
Well, this is the kind of blunt talk I want to hear. I agree that Democrats need to take the fight to the GOP more. And it doesn't just have to be fear. It can be calling them out on the vagueness of their positions, because, again, they only do the pro-life thing to shake down social conservatives for cash. The Republicans control the White House, the House, and the Senate for 6 years, did not vote once to defund Planned Parenthood because they don't care about abortion, only because it helps them raise money.
Any questions? Bush never did it. No, Bush never did anything about it.
No, Bush wouldn't even do the Right to Life convention in person. He sent an audio-taped greeting so you couldn't see any pictures of him talking to them.
Because
the Bush family doesn't give a rat's ass about abortion.
Well, Prescott helped start Planned Parenthood.
George H.W. Bush was pro-women's reproductive rights until the day in summer of 1980 Ronald Reagan asked him to be vice president.
Exactly.
And then, bing, overnight he changed. So if you're pro-life and vote Republican, you're a rube and you're being fleeced. We're here to help. Hey, Cindy's calling from Michigan about the ACA, and we happen to have an ACA expert in the room with Jackie Schechter. Good morning, Cindy.
Yeah, well, the other day, Charlie Pierce had talked about this commercial that was running in Michigan, again, in the Senate campaign. Gary Peters is running as a Democrat, and there's this nice lady who talks about how hurt she was by the Obamacare, as she calls it, and that Gary Peters made me basically sick is kind of what she said, because she had her Obamacare messed up her coverage. Well, the Detroit Free Press did a whole thing, and Charlie talked about it, that they disputed what she was saying, that they pointed out that she didn't even try to sign up for the exchange or look to see if she had any other coverage or anything that would be comparable, and when they checked it out, she would have benefited from the ACA.
Wow.
So the new commercial now is
that Gary Peters is saying I'm a liar.
Oh,
comes right out and says that. And she looks the same, very sad, that President Obama is part of, you know, basically, she doesn't go as far as to say President Obama is saying she's a liar, but because they use in these other commercials that Gary Peters ran, that the Free Press, that pointed out all the issues that the Free Press pointed out, and basically they didn't say she was a liar. They basically said that she should have looked into other things, that she could have looked into other things, and they would hope that she would. You know, they actually had sympathy for her plight. But the way it got turned around is he's a liar, and he's saying I'm a liar.
Yeah, Cindy, the so-called horror stories and these fabricated atrocities that are coming out of those who are against the Affordable Care Act are really something special now, because what's happening is the opponents are using people who are sick or have had some sort of chronic illness or have had some sort of accident, and they are creating scenarios where it looks like these illnesses or accidents are somehow not being treated properly because of the Affordable Care Act. And they're using things like, well, you can't attack somebody's credibility if they're sick, or you can't attack somebody's credibility if they're religious, or you can't attack. So what's happening is they're finding quote unquote victims. And I say that because we're finding there aren't these so-called horror stories, that a lot of these are fabricated and made up, and the details haven't been sussed out properly. So what's happening is they're finding people for these ads who are difficult to rebut without them being able to turn around and say, but you're attacking. And this was the Fox article we saw yesterday. It was an opinion piece where it was, hey, Harry Reid, is this pastor a liar? And it was a man who served as a pastor who didn't have health insurance and got hit by a truck while he was riding his bike. And then he had a $100,000 medical bill for treatment for getting hit by a truck on his bicycle, and somehow they made the connection that this was the fault of the Affordable Care Act. Well, the details as they came out is that this man worked a full-time job that either didn't offer him benefits or he chose not to take them. He had health insurance. That health insurance policy was pulled back by the insurance company, and then somewhere between the time that that was pulled back in October and now February when he got hit by a truck, he either didn't find a new health insurance plan, didn't pursue it, I would say he procrastinated, perhaps. It's hard to know without talking to him specifically, but to say that his getting hit by a truck and having exorbitant medical bills is the fault of the Affordable Care Act is absurd. But when you take a pastor and you take a family man with four children who's now dealing with $100,000 worth of medical bills, it makes it very difficult to attack him, and that's what's intentional, is to say you can't say he's a liar, you can't say he's fabric. What you should do is read the story and say, it looks like maybe he procrastinated.
But it's just like a creationist argument. And Cindy, I thank you so much for the call. You know, looking for the facts that fit your argument rather than looking for the truth. And if you think that Fox News is interested in going back and correcting erroneous information they gave out, I have an Alan Grayson wife beater lie I want to sell you. Because he's been so completely cleared over the course of this week. I spent all last week being told I hated women for doing a fundraiser for Alan Grayson, and over the course of this week, we found out his wife told 911 that she had shoved him.
Did she drop the restraining order?
She dropped the restraining order. The police aren't pressing charges, and the videotape showed that she hit him. He didn't hit her. You think Fox is going to go back and correct their disinformation on that?
Oh, I shouldn't think so, no.
That's weakness.
Also, I love throwing a pastor into the mix, because everybody knows that someone who is a Christian is morally superior to you and therefore cannot be questioned in any way.
Exactly right.
My belief system is more better than your belief
system.
That must
infuriate you when people hide behind religion.
Oh, well, someone told you about that with me? Yeah, no, I hope we get to that in the next hour. We got to go to break. We'll be back, still taking your calls. The phones are lighting up. Greg Proops is popular on the show. We'll be back after this, and give us a call yourself at 1-800-STEPH-12, the Stephanie Miller Show on your radio, on your computer, and on your free speech TV. Dig it. See you in a second.
Chef Liz. A mecca of misdemeanors.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Can you play some music we've heard of before?
This is why I love. I come in and it's just when Stephanie's here, it's all the sexy disco songs.
Oh yeah, yeah.
When Sparks would fill in, it would be all metal, and I come in and it's classic rock nerd orgy. Thank you.
Well, the metal's all my fault. I can play the classic rock too.
We played a lot of Springsteen this week because Bruce Springsteen was in Australia and New Orleans, and in Australia and New Zealand. In New Zealand, he covered Lords Royals. We played it on the air the other day, just on acoustic.
It's very cool.
In Brisbane, he actually did like with the entire band in a string section, the Bee Gees, Staying Alive. And I highly recommend sticking with it.
I saw your tweet about that. I didn't know if you were making that up.
No, Springsteen covered the Bee Gees in Brisbane. And it's in the beginning, it's a little rocky.
I'm
going to play it for you in the break. You're not going to believe it. He brings disco back from the dead. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm John Fugelsang, delighted to be joined by Jackie Schechner and Greg Proops, one of my favorite comedians and favorite humans and journalists and healthcare experts. And we had the honor of having Jackie on stage with us at the last Sexy Liberal Show in Fort Lauderdale. I'm here to tell you that we are coming to Albuquerque, New Mexico at Pope Joy Hall for the first time in 2 years in May, May 10th, I believe. Get tickets to that. And we're at the Chicago Theater returning there on the 26th of April. And Jim Ward and I think Chris Lavoie will be part of that show. And you can actually see what we're trying on the tour this year, which is putting the radio show live on stage. It's an unholy mess. Nudity is encouraged.
It's a really fun show.
And we're
Pope Joy's my favorite Pope, by the way.
Pope Joy? Yeah, I like
Pope Joy.
Is that
what you're playing, you say?
Yes, it's actually Pope Joy Behar was the full name of it. And they
she was a fabulous Pope. A lot of people forget she brought the mitre back.
She's a lesser known Pope.
Oh, yeah.
And we're, of course, this is the Free Speech TV Pledge Week, and I want to tell you, they're trying to raise $200,000 by March 30th. You can be a part of that if you like the great programming that Free Speech TV does. If you like living in a society that has progressive media and you kind of feel like what's out there is a bit too corporate, well, this is where you'll get Tom Hartman. This is where you'll get Amy Goodman, Stephanie Miller, Bill Press. This is where you'll get to be the smartest, most moral, and sexiest person around the water cooler. And so please call 877-378-8669 or go to freespeech.org. The number again is 877-378-8669. Greg, what do you think is the most important issue facing progressives right now?
Women's rights are always at the top for me because I think everything stems from there. By that I mean women's rights. You can't ignore over half the population. I don't think there's enough elected women individual representatives in this country. I think women are woofully underrepresented.
Hang on, women are 51% of the population and they're 20% of Congress. What
exactly.
are you talking about?
I think
that's very generous,
right.
Greg. Come on.
And also, women are disproportionately poor. Women are in charge of all the menial jobs in the country. Women immigrants, I think, bear the brunt of all the justice system in this country. So that would be my number one thing. But I mean, other people probably think it's that there's not enough Viagra or something. I don't know what you were asking. My personal opinion. So
yeah,
I
agree. I mean, personally, I think it's, you know, it's the income inequality gap, and it's not even income inequality because every society has income inequality.
I don't even think they're sucking up. Like, I think they actually believe this.
It's uneven income.
I'm straight
growth.
Up feminist. I don't. I do think that. I mean, and I don't like the whole argument. I used to make this argument. I think about your wife, your mother, your sister, your daughter, and I don't anymore. Now I'm a little more frank about it. I'm like, think of your own raw self interest. Have you no empathy at long last, as Senator Joseph Walsh said? If you can't imagine yourself being another gender and having these things happen to you, then you're a pinhead. And you have to be able to put yourself in the position of a woman. Women don't make what men make. It's that easy.
But this is a male problem. This is testosterone. Testosterone rots the brain. We can all agree on this. And it's why so many of these men, these freaking Y-chromosomal men, don't give a rat's ass about LGBT people until their son comes out as gay. They don't give a rat's ass about women's issues until they have a daughter. And it seems like you have to have one degree of empathy to really care about your fellow Americans.
Well, I mean, you know, imagine being a wait person in a nightclub. And I work in nightclubs every night of my life. And having to put up with the abuse that they put up with.
Yeah.
I remember women, you know, the things men say to women when they're under the influence of drink and even when they're not. Let me put it this way. There's not a woman in the world who hasn't been walking in their sweatpants and a baseball hat to do their laundry and been accosted.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that the level of your attractiveness has nothing to do with this whatsoever.
But Greg, boys will be boys. What are you, come on. Why are you being
Why
are you being so politically correct? Guys just having a good time, you know, sexually harassing
women.
That's
why I love the Super Bowl.
Why are you so politically correct?
correct.
No, because you're broken down to body parts. I mean,
well,
that,
yeah,
and
exactly.
It's not just in a
smile.
And it's not just in. It's not just in a nightclub. I mean, it's any work environment. Yeah. I would challenge you to find an environment where a woman hasn't felt that she's got to kind of suck it up and smile mm-hmm. when a man said something inappropriate to
convent.
Her. It happens. Yeah, I mean, it happens all the time. And you know, being in the journalism, entertainment, television business, where mm-hmm. your appearance mm-hmm. tends to be of a, I would say, disproportionate
mm-hmm.
importance.
Mm-hmm.
It's awfully interesting when how smart you are isn't as important as what color your hair is or what clothing you're wearing. And that's an infuriating experience.
You are so adorable when you get angry.
Let me lay it on the line.
If you could lose a couple pounds,
exactly.
you could have such a great career.
Yeah,
you are so
I mean,
cute.
If a woman was as ugly as Mitch McConnell, we would never stop being talked about. There. I've
I mean,
said
you think
it.
They're attacking.
Mitch McConnell
we
got
to go to break. We'll be right back. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. All you cupcakes, go into the kitchen and make me a steak. We'll see you in five.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The great thing about guest hosting the Stephanie Miller Show is, and having guests like Greg Proops and Jackie Schechter, are the conversations that happen during the commercial break, because we've been pretty much doing Scientology and porn, I think, has been the bulk of it. Well, they're both tweeting.
Well, we were talking. No, I'm actually trying to send out this great picture of when Max first walked into the room and Greg went, whoa.
Yes, Greg Proops is now. Greg didn't realize that Stephanie has these mastodons that were cloned from the fossilized blood found in flies and amber. Is that mine going
yeah,
on?
Yeah,
I'm going
to
turn that down. Sorry. And the dog walked in and just horrified Greg.
Yeah.
I thought giant ground sloths were only to be seen at the museum at the La Brea Tar Pits.
You get a free Costco-sized lint brush when you come in here.
I'm going to lint myself down right now. If you're watching on Freedom Television, this is the sissiest part of your day. Because I am a huge sissy.
No, we were talking about what we were talking about in the break was you know, the way we treat women in society. And I have this theory. I talk about it a lot.
Anyway, as a man, I'd like to say, I'm joking, of course. I dominated you.
No, I talk about this a lot with my friends, and I don't know if I've said it on the air yet or not, is that I do think that the proliferation of internet pornography and the incredibly violent nature of what's out there now, and I'm as open as they come when it terms of sexuality.
You're a freak,
and,
I know. I've seen the downloads.
No, I don't have any problem with that, but I do think that the nature of the way pornography is now, the availability of it, the accessibility of it, and how violent it is in some ways, is creating a generation of men who believe that that's the way women want to have sex, that
yes.
that's the way you need to treat women, and a generation of young women
mm-hmm.
who think that that's the way that they have to accept sex
yes.
in order to please a man. And I think it's
in
really
order to
dangerous.
Get love. And when I was a kid, if you wanted to see porn, you had to ask a grown-up to get a magazine. Now I'm a grown-up, and if I want to see porn, I have to have a kid tell me what's the good website to go to.
Yeah, it's totally true. It's right there, and it gets freakier and freakier, and you get and I listen, and I like this, too. I listen to Vivid Radio sometimes on Sirius, and it used to be the Playboy Radio,
mm-hmm.
and I listen to this, and they have a lot of the kind of old-school porn stars who have these radio shows, and then they have the new-school porn stars. And the older ones talk about how some of the stuff that's being done now were things that they waited years and years and years to get into if they did it at all.
Yeah.
And now the young girls coming up in the industry are performing in ways. It's like, well, if you're not willing to do this, then you don't have a
but
career.
But it's not about the act. It's not about the dirtiness of the specific sexual act being done in porn. It's about the way the awful, disgusting, low-frequency males treat these women
yes.
in porn.
Yes.
I don't care how filthy or depraved the act is.
No,
if there's affection there.
Behind it, absolutely. You
I
can
mean,
do whatever you want. That's totally fine.
Intimacy is what makes filth beautiful. And
right.
there's no intimacy. These women do these things with men they would never talk to in a club. And that's where it's dark.
Yeah.
And that's where there's no real connection. That's where it's soulless. And yes, I agree with you. The worst thing about it is a whole generation of women who have access to the internet, of young girls, are learning that this is how you make a guy like you, and a whole generation of guys are thinking this is how I'm supposed to behave in lovemaking. And forget sex ed, it's lovemaking ed, and we've now got a crisis, a real crisis, where a bunch of douchebags in the valley and roid cases who use the same floral bedspread in every video I've ever seen are now teaching the young men of America how you treat a woman in bed. And yeah, it's absolutely. Really awful.
Well, I think it's also comical, too. We talk about that song Blurred Lines and how people say it's date rapey. Mm. But have you listened to hip-hop and rap music and the way that the lyrics denigrate women?
Well, of course,
and I think
but
that
there's a difference there. Because
why?
Because the rap music that denigrates women doesn't pretend it's not denigrating women. Okay, Robin Thicke comes out with Pharrell and says, "Oh, we're all married guys. We're just having a laugh." When I blow smoke in the blonde's face and say, "You the hottest bitch in this club."
Yeah,
and
I mean it's not respectful by any stretch. But I'm just saying that if we're going to start nitpicking about lyrics and songs, we should talk about the songs that call women hoes and skanks and.
Absolutely, but those songs don't hit number one. And Marvin
Gaye's family is suing. Yes, they do. There are actually a lot of them that hit number one.
And I don't approve of that either. I don't like it either. But I'm saying Robin Thicke is trying to sell himself as this nice married guy having a lark, and in reality, he's doing something. And by the way, I don't even mind the misogyny. It's if you watch that video when they have balloons in letters arranged to spell Robin Thicke has a big rhymes with thick.
It just makes
you
it
have
ridiculous.
Turned in your man card. Okay, who was the union guy had to hang those balloons? It's disgraceful.
I thought we were done with it after Alan Thicke, but I guess it's just
no. Now Alan
the sins of the father.
Now Alan Thicke is coming back.
Is he?
Oh, he's going to use his, he's, oh.
Is he doing reverse mortgage commercials, or is he back in something?
He has a show that's apparently called Uncomfortably Thick or something like that. And, so we have some great callers who've been on hold for a long, long time, and I want to get to them because I have two of the smartest people in L.A. here, and that's saying a lot. John, you're calling from Chicago about the Affordable Care Act. You're on with Jackie Schechner.
Jay Sang, how you doing, old man?
What's up? Good to hear from you.
Hey, listen, first of all, thanks for doing such a great job this week. It's been a pleasure listening to you and your sub-mooks. But wanted to talk a little bit about the ACA because, and you touched on this a little bit when you talked about the problem with Democrats, and it's all going to come back around, so go with me here. The problem with Democrats and winning elections is that every Democrat and every liberal that I connect with, they all talk about a kumbaya experience, right? They will talk about the failure of Occupy or really good candidates that don't necessarily get a fair shake. And the problem is, and the reason that conservatives do better is because they understand the salient issue is always going to be where the money is. Corporate America, like it or not, corporate America has the money. They're the ones that drive the economy, or at least that's what they say they do.
And they drive elections.
They drive the messaging. So the best thing that we can do, I think, as right-thinking progressives, is recognize that when we move corporations, things happen. When we tell Walmart, we're not going to go to you if you continue to do X, Y, and Z, then they will stop. And they have shown a glacial approach a glacial response to this, but they still respond. And
generally, that's hard to pull off, you understand, because a lot of folks would love to not shop at Walmart, but they can't afford to.
Exactly. But this is where the critical mass of, I think, of the progressive movement is ultimately, like, MLK said, the arc of history is long, but it bends towards justice. Mm-hmm. I would amend that by saying it bends towards, a Christian methodology, which is love thy neighbor and take care of one another. And part of my issue about the ACA is that I think we're focusing on the wrong thing. I think that we need to start inspiring business. Mm-hmm. And I think business is already ahead of us in this regard. I think we need to embrace it. Because what's going to happen is, I believe, within 10 years, we are going to have a robust public option.
I think you're right.
It's not going to come from the left. It's going to come from business.
I think you're right. Because why should businesses have to pay for your health care? Why don't we just have the same kind of health care Israel and England and Germany and Japan have?
Well, but here, I think it's a little bit more, a little meat and potatoes. And Jackie, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think on average, a corporate expenditure for an individual employee is going to be roughly $10,000 a year for insurance.
Right.
The penalty is $2,000 a year if you don't give them insurance.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you're a business, and I am a small independent businessman, and even I know that, $8,000 a year is a good bet. I'm going to take that money, and I'm actually going to save that money by telling my current employees, I'm going to take you off of your insurance, I'm going to give you X amount of dollars a month as a stipend,
And then any new employee that I hire is just not going to get that insurance. They're just going to have to go on the open marketplace.
It's a little more complicated than that. What the Affordable Care Act says is if you're a small business, if you have fewer than 50 employees, you actually are not required to provide health mm-hmm. insurance for your employees. And if you have, I think it's under 25, you actually can get a substantial tax credit to get insurance for your employees. And the reason why that marketplace is so beneficial is because there is value in the group.
Yeah.
Right. So the idea behind encouraging employers to offer health insurance is that you can get better rates when you buy in bulk. So if you've got a large corporation offering health insurance, you're going to get better rates because you've got everybody pooled together. Now, let's keep in mind that most corporations already offer health insurance to their employees. The problems are the rising costs in the market, and a lot of that's driven, and the insurance companies will blame the hospitals, and the hospitals will blame the insurance companies, and the doctors, and the medical device manufacturers, and it goes round and round and round. We do have a huge cost control problem with healthcare in this country, but the employers are mostly already offering health insurance to their employees. It's not a matter of whether or not people are going to be forced to do it. The law sets up what's called an employer responsibility provision, which basically says if you're not going to provide health insurance to your employee and your employee goes out into the marketplace and buys on the exchange and gets a subsidy, you've got to pay into that pool.
Mm-hmm.
Because why should the taxpayers cover the cost of your pushing your employee out into the marketplace where they have to get a subsidy?
Why should the taxpayers cover the cost of an uninsured person going to the emergency room?
Which That's they
the,
already do.
The socialism the GOP is fighting to keep. John, I thank you so much for the call. Shelley, you've been on the phone for a long time from Florida. You're calling about elections. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Listen, I was on one of the canvassers, which is a person that goes around and knocks on doors mm-hmm. to remind people to vote and for the Alex Sink in Florida against Jolly. And the big problem I saw was that we had a lot of volunteers for St. Petersburg, that area around the beaches and the affluent areas, and nobody wanted to go to the east side, Pinal
yeah.
County. And so we hardly got out the vote there. And that's the people that we had to remind that don't turn out at midterms. That was the big focus area, and that should have been more of a focus area. I hit the same houses two or three times. Mm-hmm. I mean, people were just, please don't, putting up signs, please don't harass me anymore.
Yeah.
They were so tired of seeing us.
Well, that's
so,
how I feel when I go to a Whole Foods. Just thinking liberals with your clipboards, I run away.
They're like, oh, they were just getting really upset how many times we're hitting the doors.
Yeah.
And they really need to be reminded. But the people on the east side, you know, the little poor folks, and maybe they don't watch news so much, you know, people
yeah.
are all internet. But there was not a lot of representation over there. We were panicked. The
yeah.
Day of election, we're sending people, as many people over there as we could, but we didn't even hit once. We didn't even hit those houses once. And
you know,
that was a trap.
It's a really powerful point, and you're exactly right, and I thank you for the call. The only way you're going to get any change in our society is if you find a way to get poor people to start voting. The GOP is counting on that not happening. There was a Libertarian candidate in the special election who sucked away 8% of the vote, and the Democrat lost by less than 2%. This could have been won if we'd been able to get more low-income voters to actually be enthusiastic, and that's the challenge the Democratic Party has 7 months to figure out.
Well, voting, it turns out to be such a hassle and so difficult in some ways
yeah.
that people choose not to do it.
Because
and
we make it difficult. It,
right.
It should be a week. It should be a national holiday. It shouldn't
yeah, I don't
just
know.
Be
I've never
Tuesday.
Understood why it's one Tuesday and from 7 to 7. That makes
because
no sense
we're
whatsoever.
Being controlled by farmers who've been dead for 100 years.
Yeah.
The harvest would end in October. You would have your church on Sunday. You would have one day, a Monday, to travel to the nearest polling place,
mm-hmm.
and then you'd vote on the first Tuesday of November.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
And
that's
we are
there's
still
an organization called Why Tuesday that
19th
actually
century
deals
laws.
With this issue. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I always just presumed it was the founding fathers and their infinite wisdom of trying to keep women and black people down. But I guess you're right, yeah.
Yeah.
I've never understood why it didn't start, say, Friday at noon and carry on through the whole
week.
And
a whole week.
And on, yeah. I mean,
and
yeah.
if you think about it, people who
because
are...
Because they'd never, no one, the powerful would never win another election.
They'd never,
right.
no, because everyone would show up to vote eventually by
yeah.
Friday. And you'd be embarrassed for a whole week to have not
yeah.
done it.
Yeah, because people who work an hourly, a job that has an hourly yeah. wage can't take off work, or they don't necessarily have child care to watch their children while they go to the polling.
And then it wouldn't all be on one day, so you wouldn't
right.
have folks on the West Coast seeing the election results and saying, oh, well, they've already won.
Doesn't
What's the point of going
anyway.
Out to vote? I'll just go home. We got to go to break. I know people love Greg Proops. The phones are filled up. We're going to get to all y'all. We'll be right back on the Stephanie Miller Show right after this.
Yeah, sorry about that. The show's gotten a little lowbrow.
What are you talking about? It's like the most hilarious show ever.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Dressed in yellow, she says hello. Come sit next to
Are we really playing Tone Loc and Young MC in the same show? This is like the hottest jam of 91 right now.
Well, no one hears the Tone Loc, remember.
They play Tone Loc during all day.
During the network awesome. Sale, yeah.
This is wow. Well, this is the Stephanie Miller show.
He's going to be married.
This has just gone off the rails. I'm going to hijack this show and make you guys do this with me every day.
I love it.
It's the Stephanie Miller
it's
show.
It's fun for me.
Heart of Gold writes, even the dumbest man is treated with more respect than a truly intelligent woman in society. Women's opinions are dismissed. And I say, stop whining, okay? It's just, why are you being so bossy? Why are feminists being so bossy about not saying bossy? I don't know. See, misogyny's not funny. Making fun of misogynists is hilarious. we're taking your calls all morning. I couldn't be more excited. I got Jackie Schechner here, and the great Greg Proops is here.
Howdy.
With all this funny and all this smart in one place, my God, I'm so glad that Rush Limbaugh's on at four stations at once in L.A. And we're taking your calls all morning at 800-STEPH-1-2. Greg, how are we doing? Are you waking up?
Yeah, man.
You're more clever before 7 a.m. than most people get all day long.
I'm like the Marines. I get up and I invade more countries than most people do in the afternoon and whatnot. What was the Lenny Bruce line? I'll be a world erst. I always get up 14 hours before I go to work, so it's fantastic. it's great fun to be here, John. I was so glad you were coming out. Stephanie, I don't know Stephanie, actually.
We're going to get you on the show.
I've never met her.
Stephanie's got to have you.
She seems nice.
She means well. She's punctual.
She means well.
Matthew.
And she's punctual.
Matthew Hoagland writes on my Facebook page.
She's rarely tardy.
She's a good woman. Christian woman. She's every girl's best friend.
I love when the best quality of a person is their punctuality. Well, you know with me? Deportment.
Really, yeah. Deportment?
Yeah, yeah.
That's great. Mine is my lack of body lice. Yeah. I'm really proud of it. Matthew Hoagland writes, Paul Ryan's district is higher than the national unemployment average. Maybe he should clean his own house first.
No kidding.
Which leads us to Bill in New Jersey, who's a huge Paul Ryan fan. Good morning, Bill.
I think you hit Paul by accident.
Did I hit Paul? I'm sorry. Well, never mind then. Hang on. Is this Bill? I'm sorry. Oh, I'm talking to Paul in Missouri.
Yes.
Hi, Paul. I'll get to Bill in Jersey in a second. My apologies. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. You're not talking about Paul Ryan. You're talking about something less funny.
No, I am Paul, and I'm not funny.
Okay.
I'm calling regarding the abortion debate. Quickly, 4 points. If abortion is murder and made so legally, would miscarriages be investigated as potential homicide?
Not according to the Book of Exodus, but go on.
Secondly, should pregnancies then be registered with the state by law?
Mm-hmm.
Thirdly, if they are registered with the state, would a pregnancy test require a prescription, subsequently the results registered with the state as proof of the condition to prevent concealing the pregnancy
of that fully formed human?
Finally,
yes.
What would the penalty be for concealing a pregnancy from the state?
Wow.
Check out
who's
the
smartest
brain on
kid
Paul.
In the room today?
Very well thought.
Yeah. Very good. That's it's very brilliant. I mean, why don't we attach some of those to a personhood amendment sometime? And I would go even a step further. If life begins at conception, you should be able to drink at 20 years, 3 months.
Amen.
Right on. Thank you very much for the call. Now let's go to Bill in Jersey. My apologies, Bill. You're the big Paul Ryan fan, and you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, I don't think Paul Ryan remembers that you're only allowed to be on welfare for a total of 5 years out of your life. Mm-hmm. They ended that in 96 with trying to stop generational poverty.
Yeah, and that works.
The other thing is for unemployment, you are required to report, keep a journal, and show by example that you are looking for work. You're not just sitting around in your duff trying to collect $300.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. Well, but those facts don't serve Paul Ryan's agenda, so why would he bring those things up?
You know, the unemployment thing is interesting. I worked for an internet company in New York back in 99-2000, and then it ran out of money like most internet companies did back then, and a whole bunch of us went and filed for unemployment in New York. There was a whole bunch of people who worked in that dot-com space that were out of work. It's not a pleasant experience
Oh, no.
to have to go to an unemployment office and listen to them tell you how to find a job, and you don't feel good about yourself. This is not an experience that people want to encounter. And our caller is totally right that you have to not only show up for that meeting, but then you have to check in, you have to call in for your benefits, you have to go back for meetings, you have to prove that you're looking for work, you have to keep track. Now, granted, I'm sure some offices are more lax than others, but it's not something that people are looking forward to doing. It doesn't make you feel good about yourself.
Being poor is awesome. You get so much free stuff. Mitt Romney and Ronald Reagan told me this. There's welfare queens. You get Cadillacs.
People expect food, too, which is icky.
Food is icky.
Taking your calls when we come back for the final half hour with Greg Proops and Stephanie Miller's show's absence. I'm John Fugelsang, joined by Jackie Schechner. We'll be right back. 1-800-STEPH12. You know, Mick Jagger is 70 now and still does a three-hour concert.
Yeah,
he's
man.
Amazing.
I'm exhausted.
That whole band. He carries that whole band when you see him live. It's incredible.
Yeah, he does.
I have to nap every day. That makes me feel
good. Me too. Me too. He runs backwards
well, that's
while
all
you're
Mick
napping.
Does. I think Mick just does sit-ups and naps all day and then goes out and jumps around for 3 hours.
Oh, my God.
Dynamite.
I saw them last year, and my wife's the hugest Stones fan, and we're on our way. We actually saw them in Orange County, which, as you know, hotbed of rock.
Yes.
And is that where you live? Yeah, where do you live?
Hardcore rock in Orange
County. I live in Fullerton.
Oh, in Fullerton. Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah, hardcore rock. And now
was it the hockey arena where the Ducks play?
The Ducks, yeah.
Yeah, that was weird. I don't, it's not called the Ducks Arena. It's called, like, Honda Pavilion.
It looks like a giant car dealership now with the big Honda logo.
Yeah, yeah.
The parking lot.
I saw U2 play there. Yeah. And I saw Bob Dylan play there minutes ago.
It's an okay venue.
I used to like the one that was in the parking lot across the street from the ballpark. It was Sun something, Sun Theater or whatever. Like, I saw Dylan there.
I saw you at the Dylan show there.
2001,
in
man.
2000.
Yeah, 2000.
And that was the night he played that Oscar-winning song live for the first time.
I did.
I saw
from
you
Wonder Boys.
13 years ago.
Yeah.
I saw you there. That's
great.
We are 14. We are geeks.
No, we really are.
With Greg Proops and Jackie Schechner on the Stephanie Miller Show. And people are talking a lot about porn because we're talking about that. But that's the great thing about this show is that we get to do the smart and the silly. And my God, Stephanie has the smartest callers in the history of...
Yeah, they all have agendas.
They all have agendas. Marianne is calling from Raleigh. It sounds like you have an agenda, Marianne. What's up with you this morning? Good morning.
I do. This is something that I would like to hear when right-to-lifers, politicians, and just regular people are asked about their views on if the anti-abortion people are asked their views on abortion, and ask them how do they propose preventing wealthy women from having abortions. The way it stands, it's only the poor women who would not be able to have abortion.
Exactly.
Any woman who has money can go to another country, like they do in Ireland. They go to England in droves and have abortions.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be the same way here, but I hardly ever hear anybody ask that of a right-to-lifer.
Yep.
Here's a question. You want to force people to have children that they don't want to have, yet you don't want to take care of children in our society. We don't want more of a welfare state. Where does the money come from to take care of the children that you're forcing women to have that they don't want to have?
They don't care about it because they don't actually care about abortion. And I thank you so much, Marianne, for the call. They only care about abortion insofar as it gets them donations and votes. The GOP on the national level does not care. You know why Scott Walker signed his state's draconian abortion law on the Friday during the 4th of July four-day weekend? Because he knew no one would read about it in the Saturday newspaper. There'd be as little coverage as possible, and he knew it was a junk law that was going to get overturned on appeal within months, which it was. It was a dog. They were ashamed of it, and they only do it so they can go out and brag they passed these laws. I can guarantee you, when Scott Walker sends his emails to the evangelicals, he's not going to mention that the law was overturned for its unconstitutionality. He's going to mention that he passed the toughest abortion law in the state's history.
Right.
It's all theater, except real theater, unlike Republicans, creates jobs.
Yeah, I mean, I think about this all the time when people say that you want to stop abortion. Well, then what happens to all the babies? What happens to all of the babies that are born into parents who aren't ready for them, don't want them, for whatever reason it is, right? They're not financially able to take care of them. And who takes care of them? Where does that go?
Angelina Jolie and Mia Farrow. Yeah, and also I often bring up the fact that God is the least pro-life character in the entire Bible.
You'll find a lot of smoting.
Well, if children, I mean, God commands the Israelites to kill all kinds of kids and suckling infants. Book of Numbers, Google this, God gives Moses instructions on how to have an unfaithful wife get her pregnancy terminated. And if you believe Noah's Ark is literal fact, then you believe God killed every pregnant woman and fetus on Earth via drowning in one day. Enjoy. Chew on that, Tea Partiers. Let's see. Who else have we got here? Let's take a... Paul is calling us from Seattle. Good morning, Paul. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Greg Proops.
No, hi. The Republicans' one and only seemingly suggestion for an alternative to the Affordable Health Care Act is this idea that instead of a big government mandate, we should allow the insurance companies to sell insurance across state lines.
Yeah, that'll fix everything. It's your problem.
Well, they might check the United States Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, and see that that qualifies as interstate commerce, which would then be regulated by the United States Congress.
Oh, the Constitution. Stop living in the past. Stop blaming W.
Well, the big problem with selling across state lines, Paul, is that consumer protections are state-based.
Exactly.
So if you can sell plans across state lines, you're not as protected as you are now that the states have consumer protections in place. So that would actually strip you, the consumer, of the rights that you do have so far, and they're not that great at this point. So you
exactly
end up giving the credit card, the insurance companies, the right to set up the way the credit card companies do in states with lax regulations.
Mm-hmm.
Right, your state insurance company, insurance commissioner, which every state has, would have no role with regard to regulating health care in
correct
your state. So much for states' rights.
Exactly.
Correct. Exactly.
Well, if you believe in
yeah
states' rights for the GOP, Paul, I have some marijuana dispensaries I want to send you. Thank you for the call. Greg Proops, are you a big Obamacare fan?
I am. I'm for any kind of health care in this sad and sick nation. I think that the idea of health care for profit and the outrageous money that the people who run the giant insurance organizations make is obscene.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that woman's point, the previous woman who was calling from Missouri, made an excellent point, which is that women who are wealthy have always been able to have access to awesome abortion facilities and
yeah
have never faced that danger, whereas it's always the poor who kind of have to bear.
And those women get to walk
things
into their private doctor's office and not pass a bunch of people screaming
mm-hmm
at them outside clinics.
The people who stand outside clinics and scream at women have to really think about, you know, what's going on inside their heart a little bit, too. And maybe, you know, we were talking about empathy before, which I think
yeah
is the most important emotion people can possess to be able to.
I know a lot of them. And the only thing that ever changes is when their daughter gets an abortion that they drive her to, they stop going to protests and never change their hearts.
I mean, it's,
yeah
it's something that abortion is somehow a casual or easy decision.
No.
And I think anyone who has gone through it, has friends who've gone through it, has a family member who's gone through it, it is a gut-wrenching
awful
decision. There is nothing happy or casual about it.
Which is why men don't get to tell women what they do.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's go to June in Wisconsin. You've got an ACA question as well. God, Jack, you got to come in here more often. Hi, June. You're on the Steph Show.
Hi. Good morning, John. Hi, Tony. Greg, been a fan of yours since way back when Whose Line Is It was on ABC.
Well,
so
we'll be back on
that out there.
Thank you. We'll be back on the CW on March 21st.
Are you really? That's
yes,
great.
We are.
Yeah, with our good friend Aisha,
cool,
Sexy Liberal.
Aisha is hosting the show, so now we have two black people on the show. So
oh, they're
Line
taking over, man. What are you doing? We had a quota before.
Sometimes on the show now, there's an actual almost equal number of men and women, and and I know. Next thing you know, we're gonna have Asians. It's gonna get crazy.
Yeah,
on
you know,
line.
I
you
think
got plans.
You gotta get that uppity contained. By
yeah
the way,
yeah, we really do.
It's my favorite
thank
word.
Thank you for watching that uppity. Yeah, we're back on the 21st, and I'm on the first episode. That makes it super extra awesome.
So, what's your question, June?
Okay, so Jackie.
Yeah, you know, we really do make this stuff up. I know what you're gonna ask. Enough
okay
of the politics.
Jackie,
let's talk about Michael here a little bit.
I have not yet.
Please.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I have
if
had...
If you had health care for the Whose Line passed. Sorry.
Sorry, June. When you keep trying to interrupt Greg, it makes you look a little bossy. Just say
June, I'm being a churl. I apologize.
Okay. Anyhow, I have not had insurance for the last couple of years because I took time off from work to help out with family health issues.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the whole circumstance and how things have worked out, I have held off checking because I thought possibly I was going to be relocating to a different state, which in fact has happened, and I'm now in Wisconsin. I do have IRAs and savings that have been helping me get by. I have been able to earn, you know, some money, but it's definitely below poverty level the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to have to continue, because I'm not old enough, I'm old enough to dip into my IRAs, but I'm not old enough to get Social Security or Medicare or anything like that yet.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to have to spend all that money down before they will subsidize my premiums?
No. I mean, you have two options. Is that if you're, I don't know if Wisconsin has Medicaid expansion or not. I'd have to take a look. Let's assume no. Okay. If it did have the Medicaid expansion, then what you could do is certainly apply for the Medicaid expansion. If not, you can go into the exchange and kind of estimate where your salary is or going to be. I know a lot of people are freelancers. They don't know from year to year what their salary is going to be. You kind of estimate where you think that is, and then your subsidy would be based on that estimation.
So I don't have to apply for Medicaid, is that correct?
No, if you don't want to, you certainly don't have to. What you can do is shop on the exchange and kind of figure out where your income level may be for this year based on what you've made in years past and see what they can offer you in terms of subsidization.
June, thank you so much for the call. We have to move on, but I thank you so much for calling.
No problem.
To answer your other question, Drew's not the host anymore.
Yeah.
But you don't get fabulous prizes.
No, I don't, actually.
Hey, do we have time for a call? One more? Okay. Hey, Jim is calling from Florida. Hi, Jim. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, I just wanted to let you guys know, if you didn't know, there's a movie called Freakonomics.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the segments that they highlight is that the fact that the crime rate dropped so precipitously in New York because abortion was legalized in the 60s, and they theorize that so many people did not bring in babies or unwanted into unhealthy homes,
mm-hmm.
that this is what caused the crime rate to drop instead of whatever mayor happened to be mayor.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, there are other studies that have said that, actually more compelling studies that I would like everyone to Google, that came out last year saying that when we stopped using lead in our gasoline, you'll notice an incredible correlation between not having lead particles in the air we breathe and a decrease in the crime rate as well. But what you're talking about has been said before, that once people had the liberty to terminate pregnancies and were able to do family planning and live within their means, that understandably the crime rate went down. Neither of these theories are popular to Republicans. So there you go.
Yeah, it is. It's incredible what they get away with.
Well, thank you so much, Jim. I appreciate the call. Do we have time for one more? Okay, we have a break. All right, so the final waning minutes of the final quarter hour of the Stephanie Miller Show. Lots of laughs, and we'll see how inappropriate we can make it before we come back on that cheery note about abortion. Can we get back to something cheery, like Democrats being beaten in Florida? Poor Alex Sink. We're going to turn it around. The Democrats will have a great 2014 midterm election because of the listeners of this show and the hard work they're doing. We'll be right back.
Hey, I like it. I like it a lot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
All Otis show tomorrow, I think.
Oh, God, I love Otis.
It's fantastic. And, you know, if you're at the Hard Rock in Las Vegas and you want to be creeped out, they have a shard of Otis's plane hanging on the wall.
Really?
Just to be tasteful.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so
I think
creepy.
I have some.
Where's that, the Hard Rock?
The Hard Rock in Vegas.
Yeah. Tom Rhodes used to do the best joke ever. He'd go, you know, in a couple of years' time, they're going to have Kurt's shotgun hanging in a case.
Oh. You know what Tom Petty said about the Hall of Fame? He says the Hall of Fame's a great place if you like to go and pay to look at someone's pants. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm John Fugelsang, along with Jackie Schechner and Greg Proops on Free Speech TV, because that's the thing I got to keep telling you people. It's great if you listen on the radio. It's great if you listen on SiriusXM. It's wonderful if you get us through the Internet. But if you're lucky enough to get Free Speech TV and you watch this show through Free Speech TV.
Three bean salad.
You don't just get to see the luminosity of Stephanie Miller and her giant mastodon dogs and the very attractive guests she has. You get to be a part of something bigger. And that's why I'm honored to be the Scab guest host during Pledge Drive Week, because we need to raise $200,000 by March 30th to keep this network's lights on. And this channel I love because they bring us Amy Goodman, they bring us Tom Hartman, they bring us Bill Press and Stephanie. But you're part of something bigger when you contribute to progressive independent media. You're getting the word out there, and your donation makes it easier for your friends and neighbors and other people around the world to get real information that's not from a corporate source and to feel less alone, because it can be hard out there for a lib. So please, please, please call 877-378-8669. For a $60 donation, they'll send you the Stephanie Miller Show coffee mug. For a $240 donation, that's only $20 a month, they'll send you the coffee mug and the messenger bag and the Stephanie Miller baseball cap, and you can show the whole world what a happy, clappy liberal you are. So call the number, go to freespeech.org, and they will release my wife. I want to get her back, so please help me
nice.
Her out. Yeah. And Greg, it's been such a pleasure having you here.
Thank you.
How can folks follow you and your comedy?
How very kind of you to ask. I'm on Greg Proops at Twitter, also gregproops.com. You can download my podcast for free at all times, The Smartest Man in the World, and it's often quite long. So if you commute or if you ride a bike somewhere, it whiles away those hours.
Exactly.
Also, the Greg Proops Film Club and Jaws Like That.
Dang.
Thank you.
And Jackie, how can the folks follow your fine and important work?
Oh, I'm on Twitter a lot, Jackie Schechner. It's Jackie with an I, no E, and then the rest of it you can just guess.
like people saying?
Yeah. Do you put a heart over the I when you write it out?
When I was like four.
I love that.
Hey, here's
now it's all hour.
I want to take Fred from
That's
Chicago.
That's a smiley face.
It's been fun hosting the show this week, and I try to get to everyone's calls. And for everyone who's called and waited on hold, I'm so sorry if I haven't gotten to you. We really do try to get to everyone. And Fred is calling from Chicago. Fred, can you make your point quickly?
Yeah, I got two quick points.
Right on.
Whenever I meet some phony pro-lifer, I ask them, are you totally against war? And if they say no, and I say, well, then you're phony. You're not pro-life.
I go a step further. What about the death penalty? Are you pro some life?
Right.
I actually was on Bill Maher with Jerry Falwell when I was a kid, and I got to call him pro some life to his face with the death penalty. Or euthanasia.
The second comment I got to make is whenever a Republican congressman give up their government health care, I'll listen to anything they got to say.
Thank you.
I love it. That's a great point.
Exactly
okay,
right.
Take care.
Thank you, Fred. William is calling from Colorado. William, you're on with Greg Proops and Jackie Schechner. Good morning.
Hey, how are you doing?
Dynamite.
Good. To answer that woman in Raleigh, there's a movie that was done in 93 called Rain Without Thunder.
Okay.
To do with the whole situation.
We're almost out of time. I need this point super quick.
People. Also, Colorado, the city of Boulder, Colorado, just passed an ordinance that you cannot advertise marijuana anywhere in the state.
But it's legal. How can they not advertise it?
Yeah, that's what we're trying to figure out.
Why does Colorado hate capitalism and the free market?
William, does that mean they can't put signs up in front of the shops?
Yeah, anything. You can't even give somebody your business card. This is specifically the city of Boulder. They'll snatch your license away.
Oh, well, Boulder.
Okay, well, I got to research that. I thank you for the call.
That's anti-Boulder.
Let me tell you something. It's anti-freedom. It's anti-capitalism. It's anti-free market. I support legalization of all drugs only because I want to see the advertising.
Did you see something like that Colorado made, I think it was something like $2 million in January on taxes?
Oh, no, they're making a fortune
off
of
it. It was something crazy like that.
By all means, let's put a pillow over that and smother it.
Yeah. Oh, no. To be honest, I think the dam's going to break because Washington and then now Maryland's talking about it, right? I think you're going to see some East Coast states do it. I think hopefully California, although I don't think Governor Brown's for it at all. And then maybe in New Mexico. I could even see in this, I know you're going to think I'm crazy, but I could even see Nevada going
I can see
for
that.
It too.
Yep.
I think the Bible Belt and the Rust Belt are going to hold the line.
I think you're going to see the Libertarian wing gain more influence in the Republican Party vis-a-vis this issue because
it's
good
a money spinner,
business.
Maybe.
And again, legalized pot is the conservative point of view.
Yeah.
It was used in colonial days as a painkiller. Washington grew it. It was only made illegal in the 30s. Come on, be conservative like me and Jackie and Greg Proops. I want to announce that I am doing a Comedy Nation show in Santa Monica this coming Saturday night. I'll have all information for that on my Facebook and Twitter. Rick Overton will be performing there. The theme of it is going to be the progressive agenda, which means we're going to make fun of Republicans. So please come down if you're in the LA area Friday night. And then I'm doing a stand-up.
Friday or Saturday?
That's Friday. I'm flying back to New York Saturday. I'm doing a stand-up show somewhere in LA tonight. I'll post about that. The big news is the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is going to be hitting the Chicago Theater with Jim and Chris in tow and Carlos Alazaraki. That'll be in the 26th of April. And then we're coming back to the great state of New Mexico, to Pope Joy Hall in Albuquerque on the 10th of May. I love Albuquerque. I love that venue. I can't wait. And in June, we're finally getting back to the State Theater in Minneapolis. So please, please, please come see us on the road. We have time for one more, Tony? All right. Dave is calling us in Florida. Dave, why did Alex Sink lose?
Because she was weak-kneed and did not embrace Obamacare. She was apologetic about it. It drove me crazy. And I got an important question for Jackie, the answer to which could hold the key for November. Jackie, is there any data? I know there's a lot of newly insured people, thanks to the law, but if Democrats could tout how many people bought their own insurance before but are now saving money with better policies, if they could run that up the flagpole, they need to fight back and tout those benefits.
I don't know that they've calculated it yet, but you're absolutely right. In addition to the people who are getting health insurance for the first time, there are a lot of people who lowered their costs, not only their premiums, but lower deductibles, lower out-of-pocket costs. It'll be interesting to see, but these are the kinds of things that are just going to shake out over the next few months.
I agree. And I think you'll see it be a much bigger factor in the 2016 election when more people have been helped by it.
Yes.
They will be running proudly for it. Greg Proops, any final thoughts for the folks in Steffland? And I thank you so much, Dave, for your call.
I think there's a lot of hope in the world. I think that you sometimes you have to turn off all the loud noises and corporate voices that are going on all the time. But people say to me on my show, I get so depressed because it seems like there's nothing to be done. And I say that if you told me 30 years ago that there'd be women running for president on a regular basis, if you told me that we'd have a black president, those things were impossible.
Marriage equality.
Yeah. So I think things are moving forward gradually, and that the flow of history will overwhelm those whose minds are not as open.
I'm such a fan of both of you, and to get two of my favorite people on the same show has been a real gift. And to be able to be here with the Stephanie Miller audience, I want to thank Tony. I want to thank our producer, Vanessa Heron, and everyone at Free Speech TV, especially Natan, who works so hard here. And we will see you tomorrow morning for the final day of me scabbing up the Stephanie Miller show. Peace, children.